Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life to make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
What's that? Is that the end of it? It's skipping all over the place. Are those my headphones? Do I have bad headphones?
Yeah, the sound,
or ears.
Fine.
Sounded fine to me.
Sounds okay.
Except when you came in.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. Andy, Eric, Paul's cutting his calzone. Fred's here. Doctor's in the booth with Toyota Tacoma.
The mics do sound a lot better, though, don't they?
Yeah.
They fixed it.
Doctor said he got a new mic.
Doctor gets crap done. When he wants something done, he gets it done.
Sounds really good.
Well done, Doc.
Sounds like you're right here. Oh, you are.
So
right
I can
here.
Keep my job today, right?
You can. Now, if I could just influence you to want to get done a scooter for the damn mascot.
Oh, you know what it was? My
fat belly was hitting.
No,
the
ass.
Plug.
My jack was only half in.
Whoa!
So now. I was getting mono.
Is it in yet?
Your jack was only half in. So that's what she said.
So I put my jack all the way in, and now I'm getting it
good
from
thing
both
you didn't
sides.
Take your jack off.
Now, was your jack on or off? I just couldn't have that be the first time.
I didn't know you were here. I thought you were suspended for 50 shows due to performance-enhancing
drugs.
Well,
we got to talk
about
that.
I'm very upset.
Honestly.
I'm not surprised at all, by the way.
Listen, there's a lot of things on the docket today. First of all, webradiopatriots.com is the email address. 508-543.
Second of all, burp. Third, phone number.
7482
first burp of the day
phone number.
Now, does my microphone sound better? Because mine was the worst one out of all of them.
They all sound tremendous.
They sound great.
We now sound like real radio.
So it wasn't the mics. It was something in there.
The amp. It was the mic amp.
All right, anyway.
We blew an amp.
The
probably
big
when
news
Paul
coming
yelled.
Out of, L.A., is that Manny Ramirez has been suspended for 50 games for performance-enhancing drugs. That's number one. Number two is, I guess this Brett Favre to Minnesota thing is for real.
What's the latest?
Well,
they've met, right?
They've got an NFL Network has a guy camped out at Green Bay headquarters with the Favre watch.
Why
so,
at Green Bay headquarters?
I'm sorry, Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Minnesota headquarters. And there's been a number of flights to and from Louisiana to Minnesota.
I love that stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
four flights go in per day, and one just happened to come from Minnesota.
So,
the other leaves.
So that's
isn't
big.
It Mississippi?
Whatever Mississippi. The hell he lives. Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And
we're
then,
not about the facts on this show.
Yeah, anyway, he's going back and forth. And then, we learned sad news. Tyrone McKenzie, done. That's really bad. I'm sad to see that. So it's not – the Patriots haven't announced anything, have they?
No.
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 But it's pretty much out there that
– there are a lot of reports about
yeah.
it, though.
So that's too bad.
Very much.
I saw on Real Patriots, the Twitter account, that wide receivers were in today being evaluated. I don't know who they were, but Real Patriots reported that there were –
what does that mean?
Three or four wide receivers here doing tryouts.
Oh.
Wow. Like
did you see that
– rookie types or –
I don't know. That's all I know from Real Patriots. You have to follow the Real Patriots Twitter account to know all this stuff. Oh,
Drew Rosenhaus is now tweeting. Did you see that? He tweeted about Fred Taylor.
Is that right?
Basically not to worry about the wrist thing that was reported recently. He'll be fine.
That's good.
But he actually sent out, I guess, a bunch of them all at once. on like 10 of his clients, like different updates on this guy was, you know, has rejoined the team. He wanted to trade. This guy's doing this. Yeah. This guy going to his last year of his contract. So Drew Rosenhaus on board with the tweet generation.
Well, it's, you know, the thing I like about Twitter is that it is completely uncluttered. You know, it's very simple to use and simple to, you know, get information from if you're a fan. You know, you're following one voice.
Now, do you think this will reach the level of the players potentially this year?
Oh, our players or players in general?
Ours mostly, but
I think most people will have a Twitter account. Yes,
I would express some reservations about it happening with this team only because of
this coach.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he can't stop them from doing it. No.
Well,
he can suggest, hey guys, you know, this only means trouble. I'd stay away from it. There's really nothing to be gained from it. But, you know, a guy like Richard Seymour, for example, he tried to have a fan hotline a couple of years ago.
There are a few he can't stop.
If I was a player, I would do it. I think
if you were Gerard Mayo and Bill said don't do it, you'd do it?
You wouldn't do it.
I don't think Bill would come out and say don't do it. No, he wouldn't do that.
No, but he stops you from talking. You don't think he can stop you from Twittering?
No,
tweeting, whatever you want to call it.
Easy.
They don't stop.
I don't have problems with that like you.
Paul, they don't stop people from talking.
No, but they discourage 45 out of 53 people from doing it.
But if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm not going to ever be heard telling a player, don't Twitter. Okay?
Well, why would you be heard? You do it in your office.
No, right. I've never heard him say, I'd rather you not talk to the media either, but I know he does it.
I don't even want a player saying that I said that. What I will say is, here are the dangers of this type of communication resource.
And what are they?
Well, I think obviously saying things out of school.
Yeah, like updating people on your injury status during the season.
But
I don't think you're going to see that.
But these guys are corporations in and of themselves, and they have to manage their own business. And I think, honestly, from a management standpoint, I would encourage a person who was one of my clients to do Twitter and to communicate directly with their fans. I would try to school him in what's right and what's wrong to Twitter about. You don't want to do anything that's going to upset your coach or your teammates. But, you know, like Shaquille O'Neal does it, man, I would encourage any player to do that because that direct connection to the fan is valuable. It's very valuable.
Okay, I see that point.
As an agent, I want people to be fans of my client.
As an agent, we're talking about the head coach of the football team.
But the head coach of the football team doesn't want to get into a pissing match with agents. So he's going to stay clear of ever being definitive about that use of Twitter.
Isn't it the same as talking in the media?
I see it as the same thing.
Well, if that was the case, then we still have guys that talk in the media. Okay, so is Ellis Hobbs directly disrespecting his coach and disobeying his coach?
I don't know. He got traded to the Eagles.
No, he's not.
What I'm telling you is that the vast majority of players aren't in a position where they feel like. Now, Richard Seymour was an example you used. He can do what he wants.
Here's what they tell him. The best way to stay out of trouble with things you say in the press is don't say things in the press. And some guys take that to heart and
almost all.
That's their choice. But it's not a team
rule.
That
they won't do that, but no one's saying it's a rule. But you can't make it a rule because it's against the rules.
Who's to say?
Exactly.
But who's to say they're not going to do the same thing with Twitter? And then, you know, 45 out of the 53 guys aren't going to do that either.
I think with Twitter, most guys will.
No, Twitter's good. You didn't know? You haven't gotten the gist of this 10 minutes?
I think most guys will feel that they can handle Twitter.
For some reason, the organization is on board with Twitter, big time.
From a corporate standpoint, I think all companies should take advantage of it while it's here. It may not be here next year.
How are we taking it? We don't need to argue about this again. Let's just move on.
All right. Anyway, fans did not tune in today to hear us talk about Twitter, right? I think.
I hope not. I hope not.
So, Paul, what do you think about this Manny thing? Are you disheartened?
Speaking of things they didn't tune in to hear about.
Yeah. No, I'm bummed out. Guys know I like Manny.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at all. You know, Andy and I long ago checked our objectivity when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs for all sports.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I think if you're a fan, you have to accept and pretty much believe that anyone that's doing anything good in any sport is doing this stuff. And don't be surprised by anyone who gets caught. Actually, be surprised because they're dumb enough to get caught.
Right. But you know what? I, I kind of enjoy from my perspective is, Fred, you got crushed with Lance Armstrong. You finally gave up and said he did. Paul, you're getting crushed with Manny Ramirez.
But not really, because
I kind of know. It's still a little bit of a blow. Bo Jackson, my guess is, will never be proven to have used steroids, will never fail a test. So you guys can make all the assumptions you want, but I'm standing free and clear over here.
To me, in order to get crushed, you have to sit there and vehemently deny that a guy is using anything. And I've never
been
done
proven.
That.
Your boy suspended. I've never done that. My boy clean as the day he was born.
With Manny Ramirez.
Well, there was no need to ever test him because he's career
now,
was
the
shortened.
Fact that he had a degenerative issue in his hip that is often directly related to steroid use, that is not proven to tie in at all to him.
Which is why I said anyway.
So, if people want to chime in on Manny or the use of this stuff in sports in general, fine. That's on the table. What do you think of this Favre thing? Is this a joke or...
Eric, your pet topic. Why don't you talk about it?
I don't think it's a joke, Fred. I think he has become a very vindictive person in his old age.
Vindictive?
Yeah. I think the only reason he wants to come back is
he's right. He said it.
Yeah. He said it's out of spite that he wants to get back at Ted Thompson, the GM of the Packers, for how his exit from Green Bay played out.
If you're Minnesota, do you want to be party to that? Do you want to, like, enable him?
I think that's the best question for this topic. Is Minnesota better off with or without him?
Without.
Without.
I think they're better off without him.
The Jets were clearly better off without him last year.
I don't see how you're better off with him as a team.
Well, for like a four-week period, you might be. And if you can get lucky enough that 4 weeks come in January, like you make the postseason, he's not great all year, but you get in, and then he gets hot for a four-week span in January, maybe you're better off. But I just think it's a bad move for them organizationally.
I mean, there's a lot of... you know, locker room scuttlebutt on the Jets that a lot of guys didn't appreciate him being around.
And I think there's some similarities in the coaches as well. Guys that aren't proving themselves to be great first-time coaches. Guys that I think are vulnerable in the last year, potentially, of their tenure. And guys that can be pushed around, walked over, taken advantage of by a future Hall of Famer.
Desperate coaches looking for something that might help them hold on to their job for another year or two or whatever.
Now, if I'm the networks and or the league, I'm telling Minnesota I'll pay for half his contract because I want him on Minnesota.
Doesn't sound legal.
That doesn't sound like they could do that.
I'm making a joke, idiots. But I'm saying...
I didn't yell at you, Fred.
Yeah, I'm saying I want this to happen because this is great theater. This is great theater.
I'm
you
sick
have
of
to
it.
Admit it.
No, I'm sick of it. Yeah. I was sick of it last offseason. I was sick of it.
How many great theater have to have a positive ending?
Yeah, but don't tell me you don't want to see
this
what
is train wreck theater.
I don't.
Minnesota plays Green Bay and Favre is the quarterback,
I couldn't care less.
I'll tell you right now, because that's one of my pet games where, you know, we have to see it every year. I probably won't even watch the game. And it, you know, old NFC North rivals got to have that game on TV. I don't care.
Here's where Favre lost me. You remember a few years ago, I can't remember exactly how many, four or five maybe years ago, there was like I think the last game of Green Bay's season, it might have been a Monday night game, and the rumor all season was that was going to be his last season. And he did an on-field interview with whoever the correspondent was on the sideline, and he started crying during the interview, saying, well, you know, nothing's been decided, but he's got emotional. And so everybody took that.
2 years ago, right?
That was more than that. That was like 4 years ago.
Right.
And everybody took that to mean, okay, he's not coming back. He's going to make an announcement.
Right.
Then he came back with Green Bay, and then he sucked. And then he came back again, and he had that miracle season. They went to the playoffs, and he sucked in the playoffs.
Right.
Then he has the whole thing last year, cries, goes to the Jets. Then he comes back and says, now I'm done with the Jets. I'm not coming back.
Right.
And he does this farce again. He lost me the first time he cried and then came back.
Right. Right.
You have to be true to your word.
Yeah.
Jordan was the same way. I know you guys are going to get mad at me for this, but Jordan was the same thing.
I totally agree with you on Jordan.
Really?
I personally don't like when, especially great players, do this. I hate it. Mario Lemieux was one of the more – I mean, I know people don't really like hockey that much, and it's kind of a niche sport, but Mario Lemieux was one of my favorite athletes when I was that age. I hated when he came back. I hated that.
Yeah.
And Jordan is obviously transcends all sports. He's one of the greatest athletes of all time in all sports.
Right.
And he did the same thing. I didn't like it. I don't like when guys do that, particularly when they're at the Favre Jordan level.
Guys like Favre, there's something wrong there. They cannot let go. This is their life.
I wouldn't mind it if he just decided he wanted to keep playing.
Right.
Stop playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody...
Okay, you want to play when you're 40? Who am I to tell someone when they should retire? That's not anybody else's decision. But stop telling everybody at the end of the season, this is it.
And
3 months later, coming
with the fake
back.
Crocodile tears. Stop all that nonsense.
Well, don't make a decision right off the season.
Why do you think he does that?
Adoration.
Because he's a drama queen.
Adoration. He needs the spotlight.
Okay.
That's where I have a problem with it. And I understand your point about the theater, Fred. I don't think this is good theater because you know why? I don't know anybody who likes it. And I don't see how that can be a positive for you.
And he's ruining
it. It's train wreck. People watch it because you're compelled to watch it, I guess, but it's not a positive reason behind watching it.
I know it's a small sample when you're talking about the people that you come into contact with, but do you guys know anybody who says, wow, Favre's going to come back, huh?
No.
With an excitement in their
Nobody.
Voice?
No.
It's more like, you got to be kidding me. He's going to do this again?
Exactly.
Right.
I don't think that's good theater. I don't think that's good for the league. I think they're better off without that.
I haven't heard out of Minnesota what their fans are saying. Does anyone know, you know, have you been on their boards or anything to see what they're saying?
No, I haven't. But I tell you who I feel the worst for in all of this is Green Bay's fans who revered this guy for years. They named the street and everything. They should retire the number for what he did for them all those years.
So what do you do?
I feel awful
for
them.
If you're a Green Bay fan, how do you feel?
Exactly. I mean, Eric, you said he came right out and said, I'm doing this to get back at Ted Thompson.
Mm-hmm. That's a quote
so let's just say he comes back and beats Green Bay twice this year. What do you do now if you're Green Bay? Do you retire his number? Do you put him in your Hall of Fame? What do you do?
Well, I don't care about that. I care about the fans. If you're a fan.
No, I'm just saying.
Like, how are you supposed to act? I mean, this is a guy. If Tom
Brady. Do you boo him when he comes back?
Right. What do you do?
If Tom Brady decided he was going to retire, he wanted to keep playing, finally he leaves New England.
Goes to the Jets.
Does that change how you feel about Tom Brady
as a
Patriot fan?
It does.
That would be hard, I think, you know, to come to grips with. And then couple all of that venom. The venom that, I do know you. I was talking about most rational fans. But
I am a rational
fan. That's a tough one.
Irrational.
Fan. Well
fans,
said.
Fans are irrational by definition.
But that's a tough one to come to grips with. If Brady were to leave and then you couple all the venom that Favre obviously has toward Green Bay, the organization, maybe not the fans, but the organization.
Yeah.
That's your team. Yeah. By extension, you know, you might say, well, I agree with Favre. But you can't feel about him the way you did before anything happened. You can't.
Right.
I think the fact that he said that about Ted Thompson says to me that he's conscious of what he's doing to his fan base.
He's trying to single out that one guy.
He's trying to make the fans come on his side so that...
But Ted Thompson is going to say, I'm doing what's in the best interest of the Packers.
He'll say that, but the fans are not fans of Ted Thompson. They're fans of Brett Favre.
He might be losing that, though.
I'm saying that's why I think he took the shot at Ted Thompson, because he's thinking, I can always go back, and the fans will always say, well, you know, Favre was right. He, you know, Ted Thompson ran him out of town. He's the evil guy.
Right. That's why I've said some people might side with Favre.
Yeah.
I think most of them
would. You
know,
like Parcells here. There were people that sided with Parcells, and there were people that sided with Kraft.
Right.
Now, the people that sided with Parcells, for the most part, remained Patriots fans.
Right.
They still wanted the Patriots to win. But some people sided with Parcells.
Yeah.
This is, I think, on a much, much larger level
when
you're dealing with Brett Favre and the team.
Yep. So we'll see what happens there. But I want him to come back just for the theater. I don't care about his legacy. I don't care about Minnesota fans, and I don't care about Green Bay Packer fans. I just want it for... Prurient interests.
Are you going to use that every single show?
What?
You got it right the last show.
I said it prurient.
Okay, that's better. But, all right, Fred, okay, if it's Green Bay and it's Minnesota and it's the NFC North, what if it were, like you said, Brady?
I would hate him.
You would hate Brady.
I'd be mad at Brady.
I just think it's
funny. About the theater?
I was mad at Lawyer Malloy when they didn't sign him, and he started talking about Buffalo being a family and they do things the right way up there. I was so mad after that game.
Remember,
we were on the bus?
Oh, yeah, you were mad.
And I told that bus driver, turn that FS stuff off. I was mad.
He did.
Did you really?
Yeah. He had the post-game locker room interview with him on the radio station. Oh, it's a family. He's been there for a week. Oh, it's a family up here. It makes me mad just thinking about it right now.
But yet,
so then why when you saw him, hey, lawyer.
Well,
hey,
lawyer. You know. That's
right. Time heals all.
Yeah, but it didn't. Based on this little outburst here, it didn't.
Let me tell
you
something.
You're a fraud.
You were there, Andy, for that, right? 2003?
He paid for that. He paid for that.
But you weren't traveling then, that's why. You were here, but you weren't traveling.
Yeah, he was banned from traveling. He paid for that.
Now, how do I get that ban again?
If you want to impose that ban again, I'm all for it.
Lawyer learned
except
the
London.
Hard way.
I want to go to London.
Lawyer learned the hard way. Okay. He paid for that.
How?
From that season, he paid for it. And then realizing that Buffalo's no different than any other team when they shipped him off to Atlanta.
Okay, but Lawyer Malloy's on a different level than a Favre.
Lawyer Malloy said,
no, I'm just saying.
But Lawyer,
me.
And you're it's not really apples to apples here, because Lawyer said something emotional and stupid. You're right. He was
mad.
There for a week,
yeah.
And he's talking about a family.
I would be mad if Tom Brady pulled this stunt.
This is much more serious than Lawyer.
It's over like a two-year span here, the feud with Ted Thompson
almost,
and Brett Favre.
It's almost like you can envision him at home with a dartboard with Ted Thompson's face on it. Like, oh, I'll get these
you know, and look, you know, far be it for me to judge how people run their lives, but Favre has had indications of this throughout his career. When his wife had cancer, when his dad died, football always came first in all those instances. You never saw him taking a game off or a day, you know.
Yeah.
And I understand everyone has different ways of dealing with those things. But now we think, well, was he dealing with their problem or just thinking of himself?
But back then you cheered him.
Right.
But it was what made him great.
Right.
Didn't miss any starts. Now
the evidence might point to him just being a selfish
guy. So who's
guy.
Changed, him or you?
My opinion of him has changed.
Right. So he hasn't. He's been forever addicted to the game.
Exactly.
And selfish. Yet at some point,
yes.
You cheered him for being that way. Now you've turned on him.
Now we realize.
He's no different. It's you that's changed.
Now we realize.
You're the bad person here.
Now we realize that maybe. I don't know where he got that. But now we realize that.
It kind of bothers me.
For selfish purposes
like,
that he did that.
I'm as annoyed as anyone, but it kind of bothers me that he's not allowed to do what he wants to do. Like that he's like
well, that's
this
what I said.
Villain.
It's up to him whether he wants to play
like,
or not.
He's
just
being
stop villain.
Like
back.
He's a murderer or some
okay,
like
so
terrible
you,
human being.
You have no problem with what he's doing.
I don't like it, but it's his right.
No one's stopping
we're not saying,
him.
And I'm not,
but he's being like bashed from coast to coast.
He's right. Yeah,
in
he's
every
right.
venue, papers, TV, radio, internet
well,
radio.
Because here's
you,
the thing.
You
Andy.
Know how the papers are and the rate. They go for the low-hanging fruit. This is easy.
No, but it's,
as we open our show,
it's like Paul said earlier.
Cerebral Talk Radio here on Patriots.com.
Brett Favre.
No, seriously. It's like Paul said earlier. If Favre just came out from the beginning and said, "Look, I want to play till I'm 40 or 45,"
then stop.
Then stop
decisions.
Telling people that things are final and stop
if
crying.
You're torn,
and stop
saying
lying.
Yes or no.
That's
stop
accurate.
Lying.
I agree with
say
all.
Say I'm
well,
torn.
I don't think he's lying. I think when he does certain things, he believes them for that moment. I think Fred's right. He's sick. He's got an insatiable addiction to the game and the spotlight and all that.
He's an addict.
But I think at certain times he does, like sanity takes over. He goes, yeah, this is it. I got to step away. But then he's further and further away. I got to get back to it.
Okay, but
he needs a patch.
When he,
yes, he needs a football patch.
When he and Buss Cook come out the other day and say, at the moment, he's retired. Nobody in their right mind believes that that statement is true. They know that they're lying when they say that. He is convinced he wants to come back. That's clear as day.
Well, that wasn't
so
a lie.
Don't say it.
It wasn't
don't
a
come
lie.
Out
at
say,
the moment he was.
I technically it's
and
true, but everybody knows
that
that's a lie. Right. Everyone knows that's a lie.
Yeah,
that's
but everybody
PR
lies.
It's,
but everybody lies in statements like that.
Yeah, I don't have as much
they
a problem with
though.
That as I do the definitive statements that he does make, you know, at the end of seasons. I'm done.
But he believes them at that time.
But he shouldn't. He,
well, that's
no
right.
Way,
I get back to he clearly
no
has
he
issues.
Could.
But way back when, he was praised for all this dedication to the game
well,
and putting football first.
That's the
and
media
blah,
adoration.
Blah, blah.
I mean, Brett Favre, I've always admired Brett Favre, the quarterback. I think, you know, to me, the shame of this all is that. You can't find a football fan now that won't say what Fred just
right.
said. And I think that's the shame of it all, is that people forget how great he was.
How come that didn't happen to Jordan? How come he didn't become overrated?
I don't know. Maybe because he won 6 titles instead of 1.
Josh from
but, you know, I want to get back to the theater thing. You know, this is great theater. Maybe if, you know, every time you hear on ESPN radio or NFL Network now, they're showing them, and these guys talk about it, and it's always in the same terms, like, oh, now we got to pack up everything and camp out in front of, you know, Minnesota now on the breath. You know what?
Don't
do it
right.
and see if you get any complaints.
Right.
I'll guarantee you, you'll get a very minimal amount of complaint that it's not Brett Favre 24/7.
Right, right.
Stop doing it.
Right.
And then see if the theater is still where you think it is.
Right.
So let's merge the two. I'm putting this together in my head right now. Let's merge the two stories we started out talking about, Manny and Favre.
Can we get off Manny?
And we'll go to a third story, a guy who had a clear vendetta against a single general manager who ended his career in a city where he was a legend.
Dan Duquette, Roger Clemens. What did Roger Clemens do?
Performance enhancing
drugs. Late in his career, take off. Manny Ramirez suspended today. I say Brett Favre should go do performance-enhancing drugs so he has one great season.
You know, if there's one guy that probably doesn't do them, I'll bet you it's Brett Favre.
Right, which means he should for this year.
I mean, he doesn't do them?
Yeah, I don't think – you know what? I don't think he does.
But he's been on drugs throughout his career.
Well, painkillers and stuff.
Right. Well, so just – but to just sit there and cavalierly say he's probably not doing it?
I want to see him show up at Vikings camp in July at about 290 pounds of ripped muscle. Shave all your hair off, lube up, and just say, what, catch me. If you suspend me, I'll retire again.
He's going to look like...
Andy really wants to see that.
Oiled up?
That's what he should do. Oiled up, one last run.
He's going to look like Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler.
I want to see him running down the field, punching guys in the face for 80-yard touchdowns. I want him all roided out.
Well, the other thing, too, that I think is kind of being lost is he had his moments last year. He had some games, you know,
here.
Most notably here. But for the most part, he didn't play very well. And now it's being portrayed by the people that supposedly can't stand covering this story, that he was playing great last year and then got hurt at the end of the year and it fell apart. That's not what happened.
No.
He was up and down badly throughout the season and then finished really bad.
I was going to say it fell off the map at the end.
That's been his M.O. for the past several seasons.
That wasn't because he was hurt. That was because he don't have it anymore.
I know. That's my point.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you,
5 years, as Eric is alluding to, is not a coincidence. He hasn't been effective for a whole year in a long time.
Josh says, one of my good friends here at work is a huge Packers fan, and I've been observing his reactions to the Favre saga over the last year or so. He has consistently wished Favre well and hoped that he had great success with the Jets. He was rooting for him whenever it did not conflict with Packer interests. They have a similar theory as Pats fans. In TT and MM, we trust. I guess it means Ted Thompson and who's the MM?
Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy. That's the coach.
A little bit of blind faith there.
He is clearly dreading.
I mean, we kind of make fun of Patriots fans. We have three titles to show for our blind faith.
Super Bowl loss, a perfect season.
He is clearly dreading Favre to the Vikings for two reasons. First, he would be bummed out as Favre was once one of his heroes for a long time. Two, he knows there is a really good chance the Vikes will be much better with Favre while the Packers are still struggling. That situation would be really upsetting to Packers fans. Personally, I'd love to see it.
I'm not sure that they'll be that much better.
I think the Vikings are a better team than the Packers, but not because of Brett Favre.
Let's look at what happened last year. In theory, okay, you have Brett Favre, a Hall of Fame quarterback. You run Peterson, and every once in a while just play action, a couple plays here or there. He proved he doesn't want to be that. He still wants to sling it around the field and throw up the run out right.
Oh, by the way,
left.
Can't get the ball downfield anymore.
Yeah,
that's not going to work.
And you think he's going to listen to this guy? Well, he's not on the screen anymore.
Major
Brad Childress. You think if Brad says, I need you to calm down with the improviser. I need you to follow the playbook.
Part of the whole theory is his whole what's his name, Revell, or the offensive coordinator who's like his best buddy from Green Bay.
Yeah, Darryl Bevel.
Bevel, I think it is. That he, you know, that'll be a key factor there.
Former Wisconsin quarterback.
I don't listen.
I'm going to get made fun of because I got made fun of the last time I brought this guy's name up. But Sage Rosenfels, I think, gives them, for what they want to do, every bit as much of a chance to win games.
Tavares.
He can't play.
No, he can't play.
He hurts the Cubs.
No, he got hurt by that coaching staff, ruined by Major Dad.
I agree he got ruined by the coaching staff, but he doesn't. He
he's
makes
a Pro
mistakes
Bowl
that hurt the team.
Crushed by his idiocy.
I think.
Have any fried dough today?
I probably will, Fred. I'm just.
Well, there's barely any left after Fred
gets
done.
Wanted to settle down a little bit.
You notice how he hoards it under his left arm over there behind his laptop?
It's kind of like what you used to do with the appetizers until Fred yelled at you.
That's true.
And then started doing it.
Now he does it.
I ordered it.
What does that mean?
So if I order it, that means I get to order it.
So I could eat it. I eat half and I give the other half to Paul.
Just a quick side note.
I have like a piece every time.
Can emailers email in and say if we sound better?
I'd like to know if
it's just us hearing
if
this better, or
if it's a noticeable difference to them.
Yeah, a definite difference.
I did have one email that said that the flash player wasn't working.
Right, it never does.
What else is new?
The entire body of people on PFW in Progress couldn't hear the show the other day. It went down. They couldn't get it. There were all kinds of problems.
No, that's not the fact.
Who's the weather girl?
It's like three people.
No, it was like 10. And they're our most important listeners, Fred. If we're going to cater to anyone.
It goes Eric lusting at people he can't get again.
Well, at least it's a girl.
And she's not wearing a ring.
Wow.
Or a bra.
Oh! Oh, panties.
And doctor's angry at you and staring you down.
What?
That's telling me there's probably something on your IM that you've ignored for the last 20 minutes.
You yes.
Not even open that
and
anymore?
Guess who's on the phone? John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. Good, what, did you die the other day?
Good to see you. Shook off the Puerto Rican mafia.
What's that?
Did you listen to the show?
I listened to that. That's funny stuff.
John, not amused.
I could tell. It got you where it counted.
No, it didn't bother me. I just would like to move on to actually talk about what I want to talk about.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
consider
ourselves chastised.
Tanties bunched
up. Welcome back to John in L.A. in progress.
John Elway, I have a lot of appreciation for, but even more so in light of this Favre nonsense again.
Yep.
You know, I really appreciate him knowing, having a sense of timing.
Yep, he called it quits, and that was it.
And didn't come back either with the Broncos or anybody else.
Right.
Of course, he could barely walk when he called it quits.
Yeah.
But.
See, I mean, I understand the point.
Great shape.
It's just really not part of my mindset. If Favre decided he wanted to play until he was 48, I would be fine with that. Just stop playing this game with me every year.
Right.
And stop playing the game with the front office. Like, it wasn't just the last year with Green Bay. It was the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to figure
absolutely.
Out. You know, what to do with their offseason and the composition of their roster. It's really irresponsible, and it's obnoxious to the fans in a huge way. I can't believe he's so willing to screw up that goodwill and that legacy with a fan base. And what he's doing, especially going to the Vikings, is just crazy.
He obviously, John, doesn't care about the fan base as much as you would think he would.
No, he doesn't. He cares about Brett Favre.
But that's my point. Yeah. That he cared about Brett Favre when he was playing after his dad died.
Right.
He always did. And at some point, the table turned. It was no longer something you loved about him. Now he's being selfish and it's hurting
you, so you criticize it. No, now we realize.
He's always been selfish. It's just you praised it for 15 years
and
bitched about it
for two. There's a lot of people who did what he did in those circumstances who aren't like Brett Favre.
Right.
Who did it because that's their way of dealing with the grief or whatever, you know. But, you know, and they're not Brett Favre. We've realized.
I just kind of fall back on our good pal Felge in this situation because he was close to it. He's a cheesehead. He's a Packer fan.
Right.
He's one of those guys that's
always been a Packer.
A shareholder and all that stuff. He's a Packer fan through and through. This is not a new thing for him. He said for a long time, and we all laughed at him, this guy is not dedicated to the team, only cares about himself and hunting season, doesn't do the off-season programs, doesn't do the stuff in the OTAs that it takes to get it done. Same stuff that we're talking about with Brady now, how encouraging it is to see Brady around in Foxborough now, and how last year we were kind of concerned about it.
Right.
You know, that was going on with Brett Favre for 10 years, long before the marked decline in his play and this whole musical chairs thing with whether or not he's playing or not. That's... You know, at the time, I thought Felge was just being a contrarian because that's what he is. But in retrospect, I think he was more right than wrong.
Yeah. No.
And, which makes you wonder why teams like the Jets or the Vikings want a player like that.
Desperation.
Sure.
But the Vikings are looking at it as, this is 2 or 3 years now. We feel like we have a championship-level team, but we don't have a quarterback. Maybe he's the quarterback. That's what they're looking at. I think it's wrong because I don't think he's a championship-level quarterback.
I don't either, and especially he's older. He's not committed to doing the things that you need a quarterback to do. How much better do they think they're going to be with a guy like that?
They're probably like, look, Brett, if you can play like you did 2 years ago when you were more of a game manager, we got a running back that is lights out. We got a defense that can stop anybody else's run. We can do this. We just need you to play within yourself and don't go crazy. You know?
I think convincing him to do that is going to be a monumental chore for the Vikings.
That's the patented
the guys
Scott
looking,
Boris
the patented I didn't really do it response from Manny Ramirez.
Manny went to a doctor. The guy gave him something that he thought was okay.
He did say it's his responsibility, which is a little bit off the script.
First of all, he didn't say anything. Scott Boris typed
Manny's
this up.
Manny's the one athlete I buy that from. I buy Manny going in, taking something, and being like, I don't know.
He'd been juicing his whole life.
Yeah.
Just like the rest of
them. No, but I will say that he, you know, like a lot of these other guys, it was either a tainted supplement or something he thought was okay, and it turned out to be it wasn't some trainer or doctor gave him. But at least beyond that, he's taking responsibility. This is on me.
And
my apologies, blah,
and you,
blah, blah.
And you look at A-Rod and you look at Nomar Garciaparra, Manny was smarter than them because they would wear tight-fitting uniforms. Manny always wore baggy uniforms so you can never see the change. He's smart.
I don't think he's changed all that much.
He didn't do that, you know, just because he liked the fashion. He did it to hide. He's smart. Smarter than you think.
Maybe.
John, what else?
I was really, really sorry to hear about Tyrone McKenzie.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds like he's gone for the year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's too bad.
Yeah. But, it is, and it leaves a big hole in the defense. I mean, I know he hasn't done anything, and we were kind of pumping him up beyond reason probably, but they have some serious issues at depth at linebacker right now, inside and out. Mm-hmm. They're missing a starter on the outside, and even if you think Teddy Bruschi is still your starter, I mean, you have a situational guy in Gary Guyton. If you get any injuries in there, you're back on the, hey, Junior Seau, you still feeling okay? Yeah, I mean, you got nothing.
You have an undrafted free agent in Appleby.
You got nothing.
A guy who hasn't been able to stay on the field.
Vinny Sirisu.
And Eric Alexander. They have no depth inside or out, and it's a concern. It's a concern.
And I saw the Boston Globe wrote about that this morning, depth inside, and said, which could force them to move Adalis Thomas inside. And I'm thinking, well, who the hell is
going to play
outside?
Then you have nobody on the outside.
Then Eric's dream will come true, and we'll get Taylor and Peppers.
Is that a wet dream? I mean,
Andy.
Jeez. All right, John.
All right,
looking forward to your column tomorrow. Friday Outtakes on Friday tomorrow on Patriots.com.
Yeah.
Todd Porter says we sound better. Chris with the TIN says we sound better. So
now, if they could just do something about what we actually say.
True.
Right.
Who got lunch today?
Well, that's my next thing. I have a couple lunch things I need to take care of. First of all, last Tuesday, William Roeder bought us lunch.
Roeder.
And
I didn't know that,
but the buying the lunch was contingent on us reading his email.
You didn't read his email?
I thought you did read his email.
I don't think, well, there
I
was.
I think you said that he wrote in and bought lunch, but I don't think you read the email.
Well, here it is, anyway. His email, and I can see why he wanted us to read it. It kind of opens up a can of worms, but hey, this is PFW in progress, and that's what we do, right?
Uh-oh.
Reading How Football Explains America this week, which I don't recommend for any Pats fan, as the author builds his thesis around Super Bowl 43, reminded me that Spector, Arlen Spector, was agitating during the week preceding the game. We know what game he's talking about.
Did he mean, so 42 then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And mentioned the Herald story alleging taping the Rams walkthrough before Super Bowl 36, which was later proved false and recanted by the author. What I had not realized, Palantonio, Sal, says that NFL executives met with...
ESPN reporter.
Right. Says that NFL executives met with Pat's coaches in the day or two prior to the game, interrupting preparation and emphasizing the distraction. This is incredible to me and might explain the seeming lack of adjustment slash enthusiasm that arguably cost the Pats the game. What price, if any, has that reporter, John Tomasi, paid in the industry? As far as I can tell, he is still employed by the Herald and still on the Pats beat. His poor journalistic standards and norms and utter disregard for the truth in an effort to advance his career are disgraceful and an embarrassment to him and his newspaper. Did he ever explain why he chose to publish in the midst of Super Bowl preparation instead of waiting a week? Was he deliberately destructive and a Pats hater, or was he played by someone else with an agenda? Does he appear in person at press conferences? So, how has Belichick handled him? If his story cost the Pats the game, which it may have given the very thin margin between winning and losing, it likely cost the organization many millions of dollars that would have resulted from the perfect season merchandise. Regarding reading about it reopened the wound, and I appreciate your closing thoughts on this extremely painful chapter of Patriots history.
What is this book called?
Let me get back up there. It is
How
Football Explains America.
How Football
Explains America. I hadn't heard of it.
I haven't heard of it.
So we just did what Oprah does. Now that we've said it on our show, it's going to shoot right up to the Amazon top seller. Anyway, to answer the question, Tomasi's still on the beat. He is
sort of.
He is treated. Yeah, he's treated
He's not the full-time beat writer anymore, but he's here a lot, and he is treated, I would say, remarkably well, considering that severity of.
And he has apologized in print. He's apologized in person to Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he's treated just like any other writer right now.
Yeah,
now,
I agree.
I think what happened in that situation, you can fault him. I think he believed he had a credible source or sources. You got to look at their editors.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was let down by the editors at the Herald.
I agree.
Now,
I think that the timing of it was part of the problem. I think if it were, he had the same situation in March and he had the same information, he probably would have waited.
Well,
and see, you know, to see if he could dig more. Not because he wanted to be destructive, you know, or Patriots hater the way William wondered, but more so that's where you get, you're getting your bang at right. Super Bowl week. The entire NFL world is watching.
That's right, and
the entire world is watching the Super
Bowl. And the other thing that I think forced or kind of made his editors want to publish it right away was the day before. The New York Times came out with an article that kind of hinted at a lot of this stuff.
It seemingly backed up his story.
Yeah. So,
which, by the way, that story has gotten off lightly. Yeah.
So now, now his editors are saying, look, the Times either has
the same
stuff or they're going to have something else.
So we need to hurry up and get
this out. So I think it was a lot of things that worked out wrong for Tomasi.
And he made a mistake. Yeah. I'm not trying to cut him.
I mean, the Herald, I don't know, William, if you know this, William Roeder, but the Herald ran a full-page, front-page apology to the Patriots, apologizing for this. Doesn't make up for it. I don't think it lent to them losing the game.
I don't think Bill Belichick, if you asked him that, would use that as an excuse.
No, he would never.
Even if you gave him your truth serum, I don't think he'd ever say, we lost because we were distracted.
But it is true that at least half the day on Saturday morning was half that day, Saturday morning, was taken up meeting with NFL officials.
But how often has Bill told us the hay is in the barn?
No, exactly. Yeah.
The week of work had been done.
I was just going to follow that up.
You were doing little
tweets
at the end.
You're not ready by Saturday.
Right.
You're
not ready.
Plus, when you watched the game, it had nothing to do with lack of preparation for the reason that they lost that Super Bowl.
Or adjustment. They adjusted seven times and got beat on all seven adjustments.
They didn't have it.
Right.
Emotionally, physically, you could see it on their faces. They didn't have it.
I agree
now
with you guys.
Now, that maybe you could argue they knew this was going on and they felt like everything was already tarnished. Maybe there was some, emotional reverberations through the team and Brady's thinking, everything I've ever worked for has been crushed by this one story.
Like if they had gotten tricked in that game, the Giants ran a couple of trick plays or there was some stunts that they were getting blockers completely untouched off the edge, running these different exotic schemes, I would say, maybe the preparation wasn't where you would quite want it. That's not really what happened. It was kind of
man-on-man was getting tossed aside.
It was man-on-man, one-on-one battles that we consistently lost that day. And look, it didn't help. There's nothing that was good about this in terms of their preparation.
And once again, for Patriots fans, it kind of put a little damper on a Super Bowl. I go back to that first Super Bowl that the Patriots are in, not the first one, but in first one under the Kraft era, when Bill Parcells decided through his minions that he was going to start floating out whether or not he's coming back again. And that took away a lot for fans, and I know it took away a lot for the Krafts. That took a lot of the fun away from that Super Bowl.
Understandably, when you're in a Super Bowl week, you should be worried about the Super Bowl, the game.
Yeah.
All of that. You shouldn't be worried about external forces.
Right.
But I don't want to defend John, but I don't think he did this to advance his career.
No, I don't think so.
He said, if I break this story, I'm going to be doing ESPN.com tomorrow, or I'll be this or that. I mean, first of all, the guy doesn't want to cover football.
He does.
He loves baseball. He wants to be a baseball writer. He's doing a lot of Red Sox for the Herald. His career, he wants it to be in baseball.
Right.
And I don't even see him as – he's not really a go-getter. No offense to John, but, I mean, I think he's pretty happy working in Boston – as a Boston reporter. Now, maybe he'd like to make more money and stuff, but wouldn't we all? I think he got caught up in the chase of the story.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall when he was having the conversation with his editors about this.
Yes.
That's what I'd like to
know. I wonder if there was even conversations that took place. I mean,
there had to.
I can't imagine that they gave this much thought and ran it.
They dropped the ball big time. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
The editors dropped the ball.
And if you know John, you know that he's not a mean-spirited person. And you know that he's not out to get anybody.
Right.
He's
out to get the story.
He's just doing his job.
William brought up one of the possibilities as being, he was duped by a source with an agenda or something like that. And I think that's probably 100% accurate with the whole Matt Walsh situation. I think that he's changed his story.
Yep. Let's see. Also, I need to thank Chris from the Bronx, now Connecticut, for today's lunch.
Thank you, Chris.
Which we got from the Pizzeria Grandi.
Thank you, William.
And Chris's email.
I didn't read your email last Tuesday.
William did a fine job. Wait, did William buy Skipjacks?
Skipjacks.
Yeah. That was tremendous.
Yeah, chicken parm and angel hair.
Highly recommend the haddock and cheese.
I did like it.
Okay.
It was chicken parm. It wasn't fish. Why would he not like
it? Thus dispelling the myth that you don't order something but fish in a fish
Did it smell like
place.
Fish well, but
my,
taste like chicken?
Theory.
No.
He had a good meal.
It did. It smelled like chicken parm and angel hair. It was fine. It was great. I loved it.
Okay.
Now, did you forget it?
Stop it, Andy.
Did you part the angel hair?
Oh, God.
There was a lot of angel hair there. I want to do a little grooming.
Well, I even embarrassed Doctor. He's in there turning red.
No, don't be offended. Were
that's
you
right.
listening to the open? Don't
I
be
listen
offended.
To the disclaimer. I'm not offended. I'm just okay, wondering good. When we all get kicked off the air.
Yeah, but you notice now we're making heterosexual jokes toward
Right. It's
Eric.
A whole new era
yeah.
here.
Now that we know that he is photographer of the nudists, we love it.
Read Chris's email, would you
Anyway, Chris says, as far as the show, I'm bummed about Tyrone McKenzie. I know it's weird to get upset about an injury to a player who's never been on the NFL field before.
Who was drafted in the third
But
round,
I had high hopes for him to
change.
And still do, just postponed to 2010. He impressed me, especially when I think back to how lazy I was in college and compare it to him playing D1 football and holding down a night job to support his ailing mother. Really disappointing, but I wish him a full recovery. The last time I wrote in, I had a lineup of roster questions. Today, I'd like to do the same thing, except instead of saying whom you predict to be on the roster, say who you would personally rather have on the roster. Take into account the salary of each. Sean Crable or Tully Bantakane?
Sean Crable.
TBC.
Really? Okay.
I'm going by just what I know of each player, and I know more about Tully.
Vinny Churchill or Eric Alexander?
Eric Alexander.
Eric Alexander.
Brandon Tate? Or Greg Lewis?
At the moment, Greg Lewis, because he's healthy.
Well, they're both going to be on the roster, too, at some point. But I suppose Eric's right, Greg Lewis, because you're not going to get anything out of Brandon Tate this year.
Brad Lestorti or Dave Thomas?
Dave Thomas.
Brad Lestorti.
Really?
No, it's Lestorti.
I fell in love with him at rookie minicamp. Best player on the field the morning of Friday.
Wasn't he the one that had the gray sweats
on? Yeah,
he
practiced the rest
one?
Of the way, which is going
to,
you know.
He was too good. He was too good to practice
yeah,
the rest
too
of
good.
The way.
Kind of puts him neck and neck with Dave Thomas in his career, you know.
Vince Red, one out of four.
Right.
Vince Red or a free agent outside linebacker not named Jason Taylor?
Vince Red.
Well, if that free agent not named is Julius Peppers, I'll take the not named one.
Okay. How about other than
what if
that?
He's named
other
Andre
than that,
Tippett?
Then Vince Red.
Julian Edelman or Omar Cuff?
Omar Cuff.
Edelman.
Just
for Wildcat possibilities.
Yeah. Well, he's not talking about
he makes
I don't
better
think either
pastries.
One of those guys will be there.
Andy, you didn't fall in love with him, huh?
Who? No, I fell out of love with him.
Oh, by the way, I left 75 cents here last Tuesday. I come back. Somebody stole 50 cents. Just take it all. Why leave the one quarter?
Doc?
You know, just take all 75 cents
of it. A thief with a conscience.
Lawrence Maroney or Benjamin Watson?
That's a really, really
that's a good
one.
Lawrence Maroney.
I'll take Watson. Because
Maroney, I'll take.
I'll take Maroney right now because of the guys they've picked up.
Well, two reasons. One, he told me today this year is his year, wow. So I'm convinced.
I've been telling you that for months.
No, the serious one, though, is I don't think the tight end is that big a deal in their offense. And running back might not be huge, but I think you need running backs to run the ball occasionally. And I think you can get away without anything from Benjamin Watson. You're going to need something from a running back.
My argument is has been more productive in the flashes of production. He's been better. His highs have been higher than Watson's.
My argument is
no use for Watson.
We've seen this team succeed at the running game without Maroney.
That's true.
And so I think they can get away more without him.
Yeah.
And we still don't know what we have exactly at tight end. So I'd rather have Watson for now.
Okay. Yeah, but you still have the receivers. It's not going to affect your team.
I think they don't use the tight end in the passing game hardly at all.
Tying into
is that because
maybe
they
because
can't,
they can't
or because they just don't
well,
want to.
Yeah, if there was a weapon there, they'd use.
They'd use
6-1, half dozen the other.
We have this whole theory, you know, they don't need running backs. I mean, they're going to rush for
no. I think they need
1,800 yards with the committee or whatever. But the guy who ran their offense took a running back 12th overall in the draft. I found that interesting.
Oh
no,
Sean McDaniels. Yeah.
Terrible pick, in my opinion, but I just think it's interesting.
Be that as it may.
We go with this theory that this offense is built on your quarterback, your passing game, blah, blah, blah.
But doesn't that go also to the point where, you know, we people like to peg these coordinators and or head coaches with philosophies?
Yes.
And really, they look at their personnel first.
100%. Yeah. I agree. That's what I think he said. If Kyle Orton's my quarterback,
I better have a running game. No Sean Marino to rush for 1,400 yards.
I understand what you're saying.
No, I'm just talking about – it just kind of made me think of it the way
I don't
we
look at
the
offense as not needing running backs.
No, just dime a dozen. Okay,
I kind of look
back
at the NFL as you don't need to have that one guy anymore. And I've come full circle on that. I used to think that you did. I used to think it was better to have an LT, you know, one guy that was going to get 1,800 yards, Ricky Williams back, you know, 5-6 years ago, and those other guys, and Adrian Peterson. Now I feel like, what's the difference how you get 1,800 yards? You're going to end up with roughly the same amount of yards. What's the difference if it's one guy getting 500, another guy getting 900, you know, and then you fill in from here and there? The Patriots are going to get between 25 and 30 carries every game. I don't care who gets them.
But, see, I think it's what Fred said. You take into account your whole offense. Because I think the Patriots are going to get their 25 carries and their productive yards because Randy Moss is on the field.
Well,
whereas I think if you have Greg Lewis as your receiver, you better have Adrian Peterson on the field at running back. You gotta, to me, to be a very good offense, there's a good chance you need greatness somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. No, there's no
and if
doubt.
You don't have the greatness at quarterback and receiver, you better damn well have it at running back.
They do have greatness at quarterback.
No,
I think that's allowed
no
them to be productive on offense and
but
every year that
Denver doesn't have the greatness
right
at quarterback.
No.
May have no greatness at receiver. They have talented players who are
yeah,
some issues.
I agree, and that speaks
but
to Fred's point.
You
got to
have greatness
personnel
somewhere. You, yeah. If you just line up Joe average across the board on offense, I think you're going to be a pretty Joe average offense, if not worse.
And I'll tell you this, too. If I was going to have a one running back system, and if I had that one guy, I would do it like that. I would get the guy in the draft, top of the first round, ride him for 4 or 5, 6 years, and then when
not
he's
give him the second
not
contract.
Give him the second contract. I'd let him go.
See, that's the definition of a good email when it, you know, evokes this type of conversation.
I think it was
not
accidental,
even done yet.
But
okay.
Well, that was a really good one. The Maroney
Watson
comparison was a really good
what
one.
What did you answer,
Fred?
Maroney, I said
Maroney.
Maroney's the right answer.
Yeah. Two more. Julius Peppers or the current
circle gets a square.
Julius Peppers or the current starting offensive tackles, Leighton Cazier.
What?
Peppers.
Julius Peppers or Leighton Cazier.
I think they can get by with fill-ins at those.
I agree. I'll take
spots.
Peppers with Vollmer and who's that other guy from
ooh,
last year? The
ooh,
Frenchman,
Lavoie.
Lavoie.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Mm.
That's a really good one.
How
that's
about
not a good one?
That is a really.
How about,
I'll go with Peppers.
Really, good.
He's
about,
a better player.
How about Brett Favre or a $30 gift certificate to CBS Scene?
CBS Scene.
CBS.
Well, they're both useless.
I was going to say, what am I going to get? A Diet Coke?
No. I mean, I can. I have a bottle of Diet Coke in front of me.
Yeah, but I actually enjoy CBS Scene. Yeah. I like the theater there.
Let's rewind one, because that other one was really good. The Peppers or the tackles. Because I know you say Peppers is the better player, but those two players protect the best player in Tom Brady. How you feeling about
what's the drop-off between
Vollmer
the two
and
starters and the two backups?
I don't know, but I don't know if I want to find out.
Nah, that's a good point.
okay, so that's
it might not be a lot,
it can't
but it
be
might
that,
be a lot.
It can't be that big between Cazier and the next guy.
I agree with that. I think Lavoie would probably, you wouldn't miss him that much. But and as
we
much as we look
year,
past
when
light,
mm-hmm.
I just wonder if I put Seabass over there and I'm saying he's getting his ass kicked.
Well,
Seabass.
Maybe you put,
to
put
me it would O'Callaghan be the guys that are, you know, O'Callaghan and Lavoie or Britt before Sebastian Vollmer.
I think O'Callaghan sucks. I used to be.
Thanks a lot,
sucks.
Guys. Love listening to the show and glad you're around through the meager months. That's Chris. And thanks for
that
lunch, Chris.
I
thank
like
you.
That email, Chris.
A good chicken
good
farm,
job, Chris.
Courtesy of Chris.
You get the Paul Perillo stamp of approval on the email.
That was a great email.
All right, 12:55. We need to take a break. It's a little bit before the 12:56 break, but we'll take it anyway.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Revolution 4-game mini plan is the best way to be at the games that fit your schedule. Guarantee your ticket to four of the biggest matches of the season at Gillette Stadium. Opponents like Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, conference rival DC United, and Freddie Lundberg and the expansion Seattle Sounders FC. The Revolution 4-game mini plan starts at just $68. Order now and get a limited edition Revolution long sleeve t-shirt free.
Wow! How about that?
Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Pride.
Drives it and in. What a goal! Sandy Niasse!
Passion.
Listen to this crowd or up.
Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend.
A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. Lacrosse fans, once again, the NCAA Men's Championship is taking place right here in New England. That's right, the NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championship, the only NCAA event that includes all three divisions, will take place at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, 2009. Lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the United States, and Gillette Stadium will once again be the home of the championships. This is an NCAA event you don't want to miss. Fans from all over the country will descend upon Foxborough to watch this exciting once-in-a-lifetime event. Order your tickets today while seats are still available. Log on to www.lax2009.com. That's lax2009.com or order through Ticketmaster. May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the 2009 Men's Lacrosse Championship. If you love lacrosse, this is the one sports event you don't want to miss.
And now, fun facts from Fred Kirsch.
Well, there's two times to judge a schedule. Beginning of the season and at the end of the season. Judging your schedule at the end of the season always comes out more accurate because now you know how good these teams actually were.
And this is the guy who's expert indispensable. And
that was a
fun fact
from Fred Kirsch.
All right, Dvorkin.
It's on.
I like at the end how you go, it was just a on fact.
Look, I got a couple things. Hey, by the way, they had a commercial for that lacrosse NCAA. If you're in the area, that is a good take.
When is that?
Memorial Day weekend.
Oh.
Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. You get one ticket all 3 days. It's a total of five games.
And there's some New England teams in the running right now?
Yeah. In the two and three. Actually, in Division One, UMass might be.
Well, I thought I heard UMass was playing somebody.
Yeah.
UMass has been in the Final Four
and
recently.
BU was also in something.
BU.
I think the women's.
BU girls. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
That's women's.
This is the men's. But
sorry.
That's not a good team.
But it's a great, great,
and
great
Tufts
weekend.
Is dominant. Is Division Three here?
Yeah, Division Three.
Tufts is the dominant Division Three program in this region.
Is that right?
Yes.
They weren't last year.
Now, did they let you go to the NCAAs?
Coach Daly. It's a fine job.
At
but
that
I'm
level,
excited
they let
about
you go.
That.
I know the NESCAC, they like to think themselves as too academic.
I think, no, it's just football. Football is the only thing in the NESCAC that gets porked. Every other sport has
they
a tournament, and they go to the other tournaments. And yeah,
luckily,
football is the only one that gets
that
porked.
Luckily, that never really affected
Well,
Tufts.
It's the whole thing of it better be thought of a bad team than play in a tournament and be proven you're a bad team.
Well, see, they go the other way. Everybody, and people always said NESCAC's good Division III college football. How do we know? They just play each other. But you're wrong. Everybody assumes they're good. And if
right.
they played like Bridgewater State and these, that they'd beat them or at least be very competitive. I always thought, well, who knows? Maybe Williams is just an average team that beats up on a bad conference every year.
What do you think?
I think it's pretty good football.
Have you ever seen the MASCAC, for example? Fitchburg State, Framingham State.
I've seen some ASCAPs.
MASCAC.
ASCAP.
Got a mass hole and a mass cack.
That's gay sex.
That segues into the Hall of Patriot Place. Patriots Director of Player
bad,
Personnel,
everybody.
Nick Caserio, will give an exclusive post-draft breakdown and discuss the overall scouting process at an event at the Hall of Patriot Place Wednesday, May 13th. It's a week from yesterday. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Tickets are $25, and admission includes access to the hall and to Nick's talk. Go
That's
get tickets
talk.
Online at thehall@patriotplace.com or call 508-698-4800 for more information. That's Nick Caserio. I would go see that because that I'm sure that's going to be interesting. Some of the insight as to what went on, draft
yes.
day.
Very interesting guy.
So that's May 13th, 5:30 at the Hall of Patriot Place. $25 includes admission to the hall. So you save $10 right there.
And then you go to CBS Scene afterwards for dinner.
That's right. So it's a great it's
and
great
get
evening.
That $30 gift certificate you got in exchange for Brett Favre.
Do you see what else is here this weekend, Fred?
What's that?
The hot dog eating contest?
Nathan's is having their hot dog eating contest.
You going to compete?
No, I'm not. I'm not competing.
I'd go see that if it wasn't on a Saturday.
Yeah. You should compete too.
Nah. You know, those guys eat like 3 dozen hot dogs in 8 minutes.
You think Kobayashi's going to be there?
No, but this is the winner of this, I think, gets to go to the real one.
On the 4th of July.
This is like a
prelim. In New York, yeah.
So I'm sure there's going to be some people that are competitive there, and they all have names. There's the guy that paints his face like the Ultimate Warrior. And
it's kind of frightening.
I've been calling you Andy Hart for a long time. Is that not your name?
I'm over here.
Chris from England says,
"Where'd that kid go?"
Guys in Paul, nice. I know you guys are going to rip me a new one for this, but I still want to set the record straight. First of all, I'd like to make clear that I am a Patriots fan. I subscribe to your paper,
good.
And I haven't missed a podcast or show for like 5 years.
Who's this?
Chris from England. I saw the beginning and end of He Who Is No Longer Named. But we English seem to be getting slammed a bit over the last few years because games and now rumors of a Super Bowl coming to London as if we're trying to steal your sport. Now, I'm sure I don't speak for every English person, but the vast majority of us don't want games played over here, and especially not at Wembley. Part of the appeal of the NFL is the American culture in which it is experienced. The thrill is to go to America and experience the game there, not to have the NFL front office greedy for more fans and revenue forcing them down our throats over here. And even if they do want more fans, tearing up the grass at Wembley is not the way to do it. The NFL is now starting to cop some of the blame for the terrible state of the pitch. The NFL is never going to rival soccer here any more than soccer will ever rival the NFL in America. It will always be a niche thing. English people can't play American football, and Americans can't play soccer. It's an enjoyable difference that allows us to experience each other's culture, but it's not so good or special if they try to force on either of us. I'm sure you wouldn't want the Champions League played at Gillette, and neither would we. So, Freddie, if you could have a word. Sure, you'll get 100,000 people into Wembley, but the long-term damage being done to the sports reputation over here more than cancels that out. Wow.
I agree with most of that. I don't think anyone blamed England for wanting the Super Bowl.
No, that's the only part I disagree with.
I blame the NFL for stealing the Super Bowl from America and trying to hand it over there to grow the game globally.
I don't think anybody has any resentment whatsoever toward London.
No.
For that.
Certainly not here.
We don't understand why the NFL is interested in it, that's all.
Well, and the other thing, I don't necessarily agree that English people could never play American football or Americans could never play soccer. I think if it really took hold and people started playing it from an early age, continued it,
sure.
I think the talent would grow, the competitive level would grow, and eventually...
Like with baseball.
Right.
A lot of these other countries have developed it from when kids were very little, and now they have professional leagues, and some of them are coming to
There's
MLB.
Be some pretty good-sized English guys who are strong, fast, athletic.
Sebastian Vollmer's German.
Right.
I understand what the emailer's saying, but as a league, I'm not so sure about the Super Bowl thing, but as a league, you have to look at branding yourself worldwide. You got to. You can't.
But at what cost?
Well, that's the fine line you
Do you
walk,
cost your Are you, taking a chip at your foundation to try to grow the roof?
But you got to look at expanding your base.
I don't know what that means.
It's the same thing everywhere, whether it's politics or sports. You got to expand your base. You got to include as many people as you can. Robin in Alaska is very upset about the number of ads on Patriots.com, the rollover ads. People
you don't
talking.
Like the rollover? The Toyota rollover ad is one of the best ads ever created.
But there's too much ads going on.
You roll over.
I understand.
Paul.
I understand where
the
listener
tires.
Is coming from, but I think as far as Patriots.com, it's a good thing that we're turning the corner here.
Yes, that allows
revenue.
Us to be here.
Now the Bob's furniture ad.
Yeah.
Now
getting ripped.
Some people have complained that he comes out and says that. I think we're going to make that interesting because the plan is to have him say something different. Every time, once we get into the season, so you never know what he's going to say. So I think it could get interesting.
Uh-huh. I thought Andy's truck was going to come and run him over.
No, but I think it could be the kind of
dueling
thing,
ads.
I think it could turn into the kind of thing where people are like, "Oh, what's he going to say today?"
I don't.
Oh, well, we're going to try to make it that way.
Is he going to tell jokes? Is he
maybe? he might say, you know, that Vernon Golston really stinks. No, I don't think that, because they want to sell furniture in New York too. But, you know, but it could, he'll say different things.
But what could he say that would be interesting?
We'll have to be clever, you know?
The Bob's one seems to be really annoying.
Six people complain. Big deal. Out of 6 million.
Emails start coming in now.
Let's see. A tree hugger from Oregon writes in.
Matt?
I don't know. And the person, that's Jesse. And hi, guys in Toyota Tacoma. Just finished listening to the podcast of Tuesday's show where you discussed fullbacks, and Paul started dispensing his own 5-gallon jug of Kool-Aid about how the 2007 record-breaking offense is the only way to go. I'm usually on board with Paul's Kool-Aid swilling ways, but on this one, I can't choke it down. Yes, the 2007 spread-style offense put up record number of points, but here is why I'm not a huge spread-style head. One, it is too dependent on one person. Tom Brady, his lower leg injury at the end of 07 probably affected his play in the Super Bowl, and we saw how last year went without him. It would be ridiculous not to take advantage of his tremendous talent, but I think a system that is so dependent on one person is flawed in a game as violent as football. Two, the spread offense is too pass-oriented for a team that plays weather games down the stretch. These foul weather games should be a tremendous advantage for the Pats, but with the pass-happy offense, it turns against them as much as the opponent. And as it has been shown, that Moss's production greatly suffers from foul weather. Three, other teams in the NFL build themselves around how to beat the Patriots. With any scheme, there is a counter scheme to beat it. Starting with the Eagles in 07, the NFL figured out the book on the Pats, and they began to struggle against teams that previously they would have rolled over. It finally caught up with them in the Super Bowl, just like it caught up with the greatest show on turf in 01 and the Colts during their prolific offensive years. Here's what I would like to see, and I wonder if there's anyone else there at PFW to man up and take Paul on with this debate. Wow.
Before you get into the solutions, the only thing I agree with a lot of that, actually, but the very beginning, I don't think I said that the spread offense in 2007 is the only way to go. I said that that was pretty productive, and you didn't have a fullback with that.
Well, you're saying
he said it sarcastically.
Yeah,
he said,
you keep your fullback.
I'll keep my 2007 offense.
But I didn't say that that's the only way to go.
No, I know. It was a sarcastic line.
But I think
that person took seriously.
I think the Patriots have had a great offense pretty much from 02 to now, almost never with a fullback being featured. But they didn't ever have an offense the way they did in 07 with a spread attack. So I think there's a lot of ways you can go. You know, I just don't think a fullback is that important. By the way, the rest of the league kind of agrees because there are no fullbacks anymore.
Jesse says,
"Oh, and Schmidt."
What she'd like, or he'd like to say, see, is get physical. You can't scheme against brute force. So many times during the Super Bowl years, I would hear the TV announcers say,
"I think Bill would disagree with that."
Jesse or John?
The Patriots were just more physical than the other team. Obviously, much of that referred to the defense, but I think it has to apply to the other side of the ball as well. Is there anywhere that says if you establish an effective, even punishing running game, that you can't also hit Moss down the sideline the next play? Two, mix it up. In my opinion, it would increase the efficiency of the passing game to keep a defense honest with a legitimate downhill running game, even if it means using a fullback some of the time. Three, grind it out a little more. It wears out opposing defenses, plus gives your defense, gets your defense off the field and keeps them fresh. Bottom line, the 07 spread worked miracles for half a season, but I don't think it's the magic formula to guarantee a Super Bowl in 09. I predict this year, with Brady coming off the major knee surgery, we'll see less of the five wide empty sets and more of a physical style offense that will be less predictable and harder to scheme against. They may lose a couple games along the way, but I think if Fred's prediction of Super Bowl victory is correct, it will be because of a more balanced, sustainable offensive attack. So that's Tree Hugger. Boy, and if he wrote it on a piece of paper, he'd be killing trees.
I would just say that last year, you kind of got what you're looking for. They were a much more balanced offense last year, mm-hmm. with a lot of times a fullback. Maybe not a traditional fullback. It was Russ Hochstein a lot of times.
Or Ben Watson.
In addition to Heath Evans. But that's what you had. It was a kind of more of a plodding, less big play offense. That's what you had last year. A mix it up, play action, kind of take your shots that way kind of deal.
And it's Jabbar Gaffney.
And you claim that that's... Him. But they claim that wasn't we're looking for. That was the difference because it was so reliant on Brady.
Right.
Well, you had the offense, the style that you're kind of describing there, and I thought it was pretty good at 11-5, but you didn't have Brady.
Tom in Exeter, United Kingdom, hello to the doctor and his patients.
Yeah.
Wow. First of all, can I express my anger at Fred?
Yes.
He missed my PS note on my last email, so my belated congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Hart on their arrival.
Of the little shot.
There you go. Also, to make
to
make Andy feel a little bit better about his cringeworthy but hilarious Twitter gaffe on draft weekend, an impressionist over here has just made a similar mistake at 7 p.m. on a family-friendly TV show.
See, everybody's doing it. Comedy Central, somebody there, me. I started it. I started a trend that you just can't stop.
With a potentially threadbare
Katie
wide...
Katie Couric will be next. CBS Evening News instead of Twittering.
I think no one will hear it.
That's right.
Yeah.
With a potentially threadbare wide-receiving core behind Moss and Welker, Lewis is still a bit of an unknown quantity. Galloway's
56.
Age could be a question, and Tate's knee could mean that we don't see him best of him for a few years.
Why are you talking
could,
like that?
Could the acquisition... Because it was in parentheses. Could the acquisitions of Baker and Smith show a potential for more... two or three tight end sets this year, or is this simply competition that will possibly see Watson move on? Draft weekend was excellent, much better than any of the other coverage available. Keep up the excellent work.
Thank you.
I think we've seen quite a few two tight end sets with this team in recent years.
Yep.
Not necessarily for passing purposes. I think that's what he might be getting at in his email.
But sometimes for passing
sometimes
purposes.
Sometimes, though. But if you have, you know, if that's what works out with Baker and Smith, that's another dimension that teams wouldn't have seen.
Yeah, maybe. I don't
if
think
it, if it works,
either guy is going to become like a weapon. I
yeah, and that seems to be what was it Jesse the tree hugger?
Yeah,
that seems to be what that emailer wanted. You know, some two tight end power formations, but they've done a lot of that over the years. They haven't done as much recently with the two tight ends because they've added a receiver on the field since they've gotten Welker. You have to have three receivers on the field with Welker. He's the slot guy.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to take him off the field, and
you
I don't
only
want
have two receivers, no slot.
But
it's different. You know what my point.
I
is.
Know.
Okay. And you don't want to take Welker off the field. You don't want to take Moss off the field. To add an extra tight end, as Andy said, that hasn't really been a big part of the passing game since Brady's been here.
If you ever made your soap with a slot, you could have Welker as your celebrity endorser.
Yeah.
The ultimate slot man, yeah. Wes Welker, for
I
soap
do my
with
work
a slot.
In the slot.
Yeah. That would be good. Except, you know, the part where the idea is stupid.
The product is flawed.
The marketing would be great.
The
product stinks. How's the juicing going?
Brian in Tuscaloosa says, I am jacked up for this season. Keep the spirit going. Your opinions are the best, Fred. I'm about to purchase a PFW t-shirt for the upcoming season.
Yes.
Have you guys ever thought about expanding the t-shirt line with slogans such as, all right, or Paul's infamous, don't hitch your wagon to me?
Oh, I didn't know that was infamous.
I didn't either.
Can I go on a tangent for a second?
Sure.
You like The Office, Fred, don't you?
I do.
You guys? Ever
the
Office?
Show?
You've never
seen tremendous it? Show.
It's
He's
funny
never
show.
Seen Seinfeld or The Office, okay. Two of the funniest shows in the last 20 years.
See, that's what I was going to get at. I have seen The Office, and
Watch
obviously
South Park.
I'm
that's
way
the
off
top
here
couple.
Because it seems like most people agree with you guys. I don't even think the commercials are funny. It was just an Office commercial.
Really?
I don't get it. And I know it's based on a
yeah,
British
he watches that during
yeah.
overnight sometimes
a British
when he's cackling while we're reading
sitcom?
Pages.
It was a British sitcom that was on for one
I
season.
I don't think it's funny.
12 episodes and a finale, and then they called it quits because they were huge in the ratings. They went out on top. They had a storyline that they went through for the whole season.
Boy, things really are
very
different
funny.
In Europe.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Oh, they would run that into
America,
the ground.
America, you got that's 12 more seasons
not
guaranteed.
Not only they would be that show would be on for 12 more seasons.
Six spin-offs.
Four others on different networks would be a carbon copy,
but
not as good.
The guy who played the Michael character in England is Ricky Gervais, and he sort of helped get this American version started as like an executive producer or something. But I've seen the American version, but I'm
Andy with Seinfeld.
British version.
Of course
one.
You are.
Because that's his way of letting you know that he's actually seen the British version.
Right. Of course. He's an expert.
Well, I have the DVDs. There's only one season. It's right. 12 episodes.
My main channel is the BBC.
Do you watch the BBC? Do we
get I don't
the
get the BBC.
BBC. It's on digital cable, isn't it?
I don't think I get
it's
it
in
on
the
mine,
260s.
Two somethings.
Yeah.
He has Cox.
Really?
Well, not 260.
Cox is kind of small.
It's in the 200s.
Your Cox, anyway.
See now.
No, his Cox package is small.
I was going to do the
I can't
the,
really
the wait
deny
for
that.
It.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island.
Well, if you
right?
want bigger, a bigger package, you got to pay more.
True.
Right? let's see. What was it? No, but
so
I,
you guys
I like the
love
office.
You guys love the Office.
You got to know the characters too. I think.
I don't know it that well. I've seen it a few times, but it just doesn't strike me as being all that.
There's
funny.
A lot of subtle humor. Things going
oh,
on.
Oh, that
background.
Might be it. Maybe Eric is too yeah. smart for me, and I don't get it. That might get.
I didn't
be.
Say that, Paul.
Well, I just you
didn't
know.
Say it wasn't true. I just
I inferred
didn't say
it. I inferred.
You know what subtle humor is? Not all that funny.
That's the way I look at it.
It's good stuff.
If you were smart,
there's nothing
Andy,
subtle about
it.
Two and a Half Men. That's just funny.
Right. It's funny. That's why it's at the top of the ratings.
One you have to think, the other you don't.
But what? With humor.
In one show you have to think, and another you don't.
With humor, I don't want to have to
I don't want
to
think. I want to laugh.
I don't want to
if I want to think,
funny,
I'll watch the History Channel. Yeah. I do that often.
I want it to be
I like a lot of those shows on the Learning Channel.
He's getting so mad. See,
when I want to laugh, I watch CBS Two and a Half Men.
You get so mad.
Eric likes to watch shows where you laugh like this. Paul likes to
no. Eric likes
watch
to,
shows
Eric,
where you like you
that's
know.
Not
true.
Eric's
up
idea,
that's true.
Eric's
exactly.
idea with a laugh is true. The smile. It's like right. the wry smile.
Right. right.
I'd rather just laugh.
That's the Barney.
No, no, no.
Laugh.
You can laugh out loud at subtle humor if you're smart enough to get it.
Wow.
He's such an idiot. Just,
I'm glad I brought up the tangent now.
All right. On the phone right now is Mike in Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
Oh boy.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Okay, all of you that complain about the length of my calls, then just bite my longitude, to be honest.
Wow.
I'm fighting back. I'm not taking it anymore.
You shouldn't.
Good for you, Mike.
I don't listen to you over the internet, so when I listen to the podcast, I hear the snide remarks after the fact.
That's Eric, mostly. Yeah, we know you don't listen while you're on the air.
Oh, is, he talking to us?
Supermela.
What'd you say?
Swearing in Spanish. This isn't right.
Tú eres un maricón.
Oh, see, now that's not right.
Just a couple of things, and then I'll let you go. I'm really bummed out of the McKenzie. It's nice to know that he'll be taken care of the contract, but I'm just wondering what's our backup plan, if we have any.
No.
Is it called Larry Foote or somebody else?
Larry Foote's a Lion.
Yeah, we don't have a backup plan right now.
He signed with the Lions yesterday for 1 year.
Okay, and another question. Is there any other sports franchise more spiritually enlightened than the Patriots? Talking about Brady meeting the Pope and now the Dalai Lama going over to Gillette Stadium?
That's true.
Dalai Lama's a big fan. That's true.
How many more do we have to knock off before we get all the heads?
That's what I was wondering. What's the next step? Is there somebody like a Muslim that we're going to get into, you know, like a NFC championship game or something?
Islam doesn't have one central figure as their...
Here we go.
They don't.
All right, okay.
They have all the imams. They have the smaller.
How about we bring in John Travolta and Tom Cruise to talk about Scientology?
Oh, that'd be good.
I don't like either of those two guys.
That's it for me.
Whoa! Got a hit and go, huh?
Bye.
Peace out.
Wow.
I got the impression there that Michael wasn't really joking around. I think Michael was a little upset.
Who was making Snyder marks when he got off?
Paul.
Well, okay. Was it me?
I don't know.
I kind of assume it was me, but I don't really remember doing it.
I think we all thank them
at
various points.
Fred does. Fred's
well,
the
we one. Do. We always do the, all right, when it's time to go. But
that's just what Fred does.
Yeah. Well, the producer's supposed to help you out there.
Yeah, we have a bad producer.
You know.
Yeah. And why is Tacoma not
I thought
in
we
the
were
studio?
Friends today.
We were when you fixed the mic, but you know, that only gets you through an hour.
Tacoma starts the show and then
what does
leaves.
He do?
When is he going to... Actually,
he gets
do
his
stuff.
Lunch and then go somewhere
That's
else.
That's right. He does a fine job, actually.
I have him doing some other stuff, so he's
I have him doing my job.
That's what Brian says about you, Fred.
What's that? Brian who? Lowe?
Maury.
No, Maury.
I have him doing my job.
You're doing his job. Yeah.
He does. I heard you this morning. If anybody needs me, I'll be at the museum.
And then I'll be right over to lacrosse practice.
I have to coach lacrosse. Gonna pick up a new whistle at Comlax. Have you been in there yet?
No.
Why don't you go in? It's only gonna be here for 3 weeks.
They opened up a Comlax lacrosse store here where the old Circuit City is.
It's funny that you say that like it's, you know, the old Smith place down.
Right,
the whole place has only been here like a year and a half and it's already the old Circuit City.
You take a right at the old Circuit City, then you keep looking for the water tower. When you get there, park anywhere.
Take a right at the spa.
Is
that open yet?
What, the spa?
Isn't the hotel opening for lacrosse?
I believe it is. Actually, May 22nd is I heard when they're going to open.
So for lacrosse?
Yes, it will be.
Now, will the teams be staying there?
I don't know.
Okay.
Don't you go to all these meetings? I turn to you for information.
You know, I'm just so busy.
So busy.
He has a lot on his plate.
I need an assistant.
That's true.
I need an assistant. I might hire an assistant.
You really?
Yeah.
Hot blonde.
You should hire Brian. He doesn't have much to do.
No.
Maury.
Maury, but don't. I want you going in a different direction.
Can Paul and I be involved in the process
selection
here?
Process?
I don't need to see. I can sit behind a glass window and just watch.
Two way.
One knock is no. Two knocks is keeper.
Why do you assume that it has to be a woman?
Because I want it to be a hot woman.
We're not assuming.
Yeah.
We already got the gay man in the office, Eric.
Oh, boy.
That took a turn for the worse quickly.
He's just...
Well, when you didn't include me in the selection process, I knew where you were going.
You want to be my assistant?
No, the selection process.
He wants to look at the men you bring in. Well, you can be there. We'll all be there. Paul and I will vote on the women. You can vote on the men.
Screw you. How about that?
Wow.
That's what you want to do to the people.
What happened to bless you?
God bless
isn't,
you.
Isn't that what I just said?
Yeah. Let's see. Nathan from Southern California. Fred, I am addressing primarily you. The Patriots will have a much more difficult time winning the Super Bowl than you realize. The teams who have been winning Super Bowls the last few years, with the exception of the Colts, have had stellar defenses that may even be the best in the league. The trend is the defense is often carrying the offense through the Super Bowl. The Patriots are an incredibly talented team with a good defense. However, we need a Super Bowl caliber defense to win a Super Bowl, which we do not have. Agree, disagree. By the way, in the last show, talking about Pat the Patriot, Paul said he didn't like him because he looked like he was bending over taking a dump. And before he finished the sentence, Eric, writer of PFW in Progress for the New England Patriots, said that, well, that's how I like it. No, that's what I like about it, he said. Eric, you've tainted...
Did you really?
Eric, I wasn't talking about that.
Eric, you've tainted my view of Pat the Patriots. Clearly your mind is in Disturbia. Get well soon, girl. just kidding. Thanks for being a good sport about it.
That's a crazy
By the way, I did get...
You almost got Paul the snarf, too.
I got a Twitter to my...
That's classic stuff right there.
Who was that?
You get well,
Who was
girl.
That?
Nathan.
From
California.
Iverson, California.
Oh.
I did get a Twitter to my account. People had heard that, you know, media can't Twitter
Fred,
during practices
anymore.
Stop.
Are you getting like a percentage of every time you mention the Twitter account?
No, but...
Somehow.
I just...
No one gets a percentage. There is no money made through Twitter.
But
I just can't imagine that anybody could talk about one thing that often.
But somebody Twittered me about the fact that media can't Twitter or blog during the practices anymore. Yeah. And they asked, does that mean that Eric can't blog about Rihanna anymore? So, but
good
yes.
stuff
good
on
thing
Twitter.
We have that Twitter account.
Yeah,
we'd
be
dead without it.
You can't blog at all. So even if it's about Rihanna, even if you hear that
girl,
you know.
So if she shows up at
Halle Berry
practice,
got kicked in
it.
The ass, you can't say, you know, get well, girl.
kicked in the ass?
She is one who gets abused.
She has been in the past.
Dave
right?
Justice and that other guy from the soap operas.
Benet there, is that his name?
Eric Benet.
Eric Benet.
Yeah, Lisa Benet, Brent, something.
No.
Monet.
No.
Bonet.
No.
Yes. Bonet. Bonet her.
Todd writes in, hey, guys, and Eric should try the clams. I'm in full panic mode. Four linebacker positions, we have two starters. If Mayo or Thomas gets hurt, we are dead. I was feeling fine about inside, and I figured Bill could piece together the other outside spot if we could land Taylor. But now with McKenzie's injury, there's another spot with no depth. Talk me down, Fred.
Has a guy who's never even stepped on a real practice field
right.
ever been more what are you writing? Did
no,
you read your own
I'm
edit letter?
I'm agreeing with
Did
you.
Did you read your own edit letter?
I'm agreeing with you.
I mean, the guy had 2 days, 1.5 days of rookie minicamp
People
practice.
Forget about Tank Williams.
And now they should.
They should.
But I can't deny it. I feel the same way. I kind of said, okay, he'll add some depth at inside linebacker.
Maybe push for a starting job.
But now, like, I really do feel like they have two starters for four jobs.
Well, unless Gary Guyton comes through and does something that
Gary
we didn't expect.
Gary Guyton cannot start.
You know the joke I always make about how we are? You know, every time in Boston, when we lose a game to get knocked out of the playoffs, if we had won that game, we would have won the next one and the next one. That's another title. We're like that with players. You know, whenever a player is hurt and is gone for an extended period of time, he gets better.
Right.
And I was very high on Tyrone McKenzie. I don't want to seem like I'm being fraudulent here, but I thought it was a linebacker that they might have viewed similarly to some of the other inside line, you know, the Laurinaitis or Maualuga and guys like that. Maybe not quite that good, but, you know, in that conversation. But he never played. So I don't know how much you know, the starting lineup is affected.
It's a third-round pick who never played, who was transitioning to the inside, and he was like a Hall of Famer.
So, we you know.
But that said, there are some serious concerns on the depth chart at linebacker. You have Bruschi and Mayo on the inside. I don't feel good if it's first down regularly and Gary Guyton has to be on the field.
Bruschi,
and on the
Mayo,
outside,
Thomas and Woods, I got to think right now.
Right.
You know, as of today.
And I'm kind of okay with that. But you know you're going to lose at least one of them for at least a half a season. Probably Bruschi.
Well, that's where, you know, you're really concerned. The days when you used to have six starting caliber players, it's now down to two. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, back in the heyday in 03 and 04, you had six guys. Pfeiffer, Bruschi, Ted Johnson, Colvin.
Oh, yeah. It was always three and three.
McGinnis, Vrabel.
Yeah.
You know,
McGinnis? Going to kick his tires?
No. I wonder. I don't know.
Why'd you
but
say
you
no
had
so quickly?
Six guys.
You have nobody, Fred.
I'd rather have Sean Crable.
Now you have to. You'd rather have Sean Crable. Well, that's funny because I was made to be the clown, you know, because I suggested that he might be able to play when you told me he has skinny legs and doesn't get from point A to point B.
McGinnis has skinny legs too.
Okay, I can't argue with that.
And he's old.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen,
too.
I don't want no too. One. No one wants McGinnis back any less than I do. I didn't like the guy when he was here. So,
well, I'm not getting personal about it. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, unlike you, I don't pretend I like the guy when I see
he
him
didn't
and
make
when
plays
he's
when
here.
He's
I
in
do
the prime
like
of his
Willie
career.
McGinnis.
Right. Well, I don't pretend like you do with Lawyer.
Why don't you?
Hey,
like
Lawyer.
He's not a very nice man.
He's not a very nice guy.
Because he act like a jerk to you in the locker.
Never did anything to me. Never once did anything to me.
So maybe whoever he acted mean to had a reason.
I don't like the way he acts. Period. Has nothing to do with me personally.
So judgmental. That's why you get in problems in retail stores.
There's 53 guys in the locker room. There's 53 guys in the locker room, and I have a problem with one of them, and I'm so judgmental.
One?
One.
Oh, come on.
All right, two.
Yeah. You walk in with an agenda in that place.
Well, you
it
tell
really
me.
It's only two that I can think of. Who's
think,
the others?
Think about it. There is no others.
Just in the locker room, right?
I'm talking about with players in general. Have you ever seen me?
Those are the only two you've talked to.
Oh, please. You know my guys. Well, I'm going to have a hard time this year because all my guys are gone.
Right. That's why they're gone.
Hobbs, Rabel, Evans.
Harrison.
Harrison. I'm in trouble.
Paul from
Castle.
Well, you think Harrison's coming back, right?
I think that he is coming back, not necessarily to the Patriots.
Really?
You think he's going to play for the Falcons?
Or somebody else. I think if he didn't plan on coming back, he wouldn't need to be waiting to make a decision.
You don't buy it. Maybe he's not quite healthy, and everybody's kind of waiting to
but
assess
it. But I think
he
wants to come back,
healthy.
Is my point.
Interesting.
Now, I don't know that the Patriots are going to re-sign him, but I think he will play again in 2009.
Did he initially say he was only coming back for the Patriots?
I
don't remember that.
Pretty sure he did.
You might be right. I don't
and
remember
then somewhere along the line, it kind of broadened a little
what
bit.
What do you think, Freddie?
I
don't know.
Wasn't
that's the kind
listening.
Of analysis.
Don't think he's coming back.
That's the analysis that you can get here.
I don't
I saw
think
somebody
he's
posed
back.
That he could be replacing Jerome Bettis on NBC.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I think that's what he did talk about media opportunities, and I think that
that'd be a good one.
Be good if
he's
a Patriot replaced a Steeler on TV. That'd be good.
Well, plus it would. Well, not just that, but Rodney's good.
Right.
Rodney's
and,
good
and
on
Jerome
television.
Isn't.
Jerome Bettis is awful.
Right. Rodney is very insightful.
Get off your knees.
I've had a lot of insight into him.
I love him. I don't even know what that means, but I like
but
Rodney.
It was kind of funny.
It's one of those things you can make it anything sound right. Dirty. I don't know what that meant, but
Paul,
it's kind of gross.
Paul writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, just a few things today and a response to Eric calling me a psychopath and a stalker.
Is this Carmani?
No.
No,
this is the psycho
Paul.
From the UK.
Oh, first, like having the word shoulder load in the article about Stephen Neal made me laugh after having that as an Urban Dictionary word a few months ago. Not the greatest choice of words there. Second, Julian Edelman. At first, I loved this pick, especially with him being able to run the Wildcat scout team. But after some research, I found out that if he could invite anyone in the world to dinner, it would be Doug Flutie. Enough said. Cut him already.
How about the 3.9 yards per carry is 2 years prior to last?
Now on to Eric. First, a question to the bald-headed one. Why are
Paul
the,
or Eric?
Why are talking? The Patriots playing at Indianapolis again? Second.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Second, through my stalking at pfwinprogress.com, we discovered something about Eric's trip to Egypt.
Uh-oh.
Or Edge Pit.
Egg
as
pipe.
Egg pipe.
Egg pipe.
He doesn't even know the gags of this show.
According to this site, travels with Bella Figurina, something like that. Quote, The one other thing, at the risk of embarrassing the living daylights out of him, he's a lovely guy and unattached. A little tidbit for all of Bella Figura USA's single friends.
What is Bella Figura?
Bella Figura.
What is it?
Bella Figura.
It's a website that this woman who was on the trip does. So she's kind of like a Martha Stewart kind of.
She's trying to like
person.
Hook you up with people?
Yeah, she was sort of.
she was sort of.
If Eric was having relations with a girl from Delaware, why would a woman that was also on this trip be telling people that he is single? Finally, I'm buying you guys lunch soon, so thank Toyota Tacoma for sending me the email.
You are the best, Tacoma.
So this who is this woman now writing about you? What is going on with you and the internet?
There are crazy people out there, Fred.
You have like this other life on the internet.
No, he doesn't know anything about it.
Nudity and
he doesn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
The eHarmony killer.
What? What are you talking about?
Well, she's trying to hook you up with people.
Yeah,
that
was
a dating service.
That was a year ago when we got back from the trip, Fred.
Nothing happened.
You don't stay in touch with her? Of course you
actually
do.
I do.
Yeah, I know you do.
Her husband is the
bow, chicka, bow, bow.
No, her husband is the
makes
what's
porn?
His job? No.
The three way that Eric is looking for.
Are we done?
Kinda.
Okay.
Bella Figura.
I'll let you know.
He's the engineering and maintenance overseer for Air Force One and the presidential fleet.
Really?
So he was involved with that stupid scandal to fly past the Statue of Liberty?
That no one told, that no one told Bloomberg about?
That $322,000 error in judgment? Now Fred doesn't want
to
make
good
fun
people to know, though.
God forbid I make fun of Obama.
Right.
I wasn't listening. Let's see. Sam in Chicago writes in, your mics are so good, I can hear you chewing your calzones. You guys are great, so please have some broccoli and Stairmaster after the show so we can continue to get your excellent analysis of Patriots news. On to the Favre-Manny subject.
Oh, wait, can I just, before I forget again, I meant to bring it up along. Did you see the column by, I believe his name is DJ Gallo, on Brady?
Yeah.
That his days are done as a great quarterback.
He's wearing stupid hats.
He's kind of taken the discussion we've had on the show to, like, the nth degree.
He's actually putting in a print.
Yeah, but even more so, way back when, you know, when Tom Brady used to win the Super Bowls, like little phrases like that and different things. And he says, oh, you know, could you blame him, blah, blah, blah. But I wonder how serious he is. And I mean, do you think that's catching on, that that's becoming more than just nitpicking Patriots fans, that there's a perception league-wide
nationwide? If you're that kind of columnist, you know, there is a percentage chance, whatever it is, that Brady won't be the same guy. You just don't know. And so why not?
But based on what?
You can get it in print now. It's a joke now. But if he doesn't do well, then you can say, see, I told you.
But based on the knee injury, based on Giselle,
everything,
on too many parties.
A year away from the game, knee, baby, Giselle, getting married. I'm a different person than I was a year ago.
But do you think that perception is now the general perception elsewhere?
I think there's a lot of people that...
Once he was the hardworking underdog, he's now the glamour boy.
A lot of people outside of New England won't be surprised if he's not as good. I will be surprised if he's not as good, but...
Because you're surprised he even came back. You didn't think he'd come back.
No, I won't be surprised if he's not as you know, if he doesn't get back to the same level he was when he left.
I'm going to say a ridiculous thing here. I'm telling you
that.
What
else is new?
But just because you party at Kentucky Derby and the
Metropolitan
in New York, if you're out till 2 in the morning drinking, you're out till 2 in the morning drinking.
It doesn't matter where
whether it's
are.
At a strip club, whether it's at a club. So it just feels like this isn't treated the same way as other guys who are
Why. I mean, he's more in the spotlight. Every little thing he does.
No, but I'm saying when T.O. does
it,
T.O. does it, it's considered like, or anybody, any of these guys, but him, it's not seen as bad
because he's out at an event doing
it. I think
it
is
okay.
Seen as bad.
See, I don't.
No, I don't think that's it.
Are you kidding me?
He's getting criticized for being at that gala the other night?
Not that night, but he got criticized for being on the beach. He gets criticized for being in New York.
But
he gets criticized.
No. He gets teased for being on the beach
different.
Because his girlfriend is feeding him food. That's not because he's being reckless and not caring about the team.
Right. It's I'm going to throw this out
There's a difference there.
I don't know if it's race-related. I don't know if a black player going to a club is treated differently than a white guy going to the Kentucky Derby. I don't know what it is. But I just feel like there's a different perception of the things that aren't all that dissimilar.
Well, maybe based on his track record, people know that he does love football and care about the team and, you know, that type of thing.
He might kind of be living off.
I mean, you're not putting Tom Brady and Terrell Owens in the same breath, are you?
No.
Okay. I mean, there's other reasons why.
In terms of production, they're in the same breath.
Right. But I'm just saying that the perception is.
He's one of the most productive receivers of all time.
Tom Brady's a quarterback.
And he's one of the most productive quarterbacks of all time. So, therefore, they're in the same breath.
Tom Brady's won championships.
Okay. What does that mean?
You can't tell me that T-Ho has done things that have been disruptive and destructive to a team.
He has.
Brady's never done
that.
What T.O. gets criticized for.
Okay.
Again,
a Fred
Kirsch
argument changes midstream. Okay,
any
I agree with you now.
I think other players are perceived as party animals who aren't working, but Brady isn't when he's a party animal who may or may not be working.
Well, party animal is one thing, but, I mean, look.
I don't think they're teasing him for being a party animal. I think they're teasing him for the type of lifestyle he's now leading.
Right, yeah.
But because my point is, if you're out at 2 a.m., you're out at 2 a.m.
Right. People are perceiving that as the team is no longer important to him. That stuff is. That's why he's getting criticized for it. And I think it's silly.
See, Paul,
I am agreeing with you here. I think it's silly.
No, and I don't think
I'm agreeing with DJ Gallo.
It's not that he's doing things that are bad for him. Like staying out till 2 and partying.
And I don't think he's out partying until 2 a.m.
I don't know if he is
basis.
Or not, but
maybe
that's not what they're talking about, Andy.
You know, Pac-Man Jones is out on a Wednesday night at one of those places.
That's a consistent basis. That's a guy who's putting his lifestyle ahead of his job.
Right. Brady's criticized for going Hollywood, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is
exactly.
what he's criticized
right.
for.
Exactly. Yes.
But my question is it a legitimate criticism to take the next step that could hurt him?
Is it a legitimate criticism?
If he really isn't doing the work,
But even that, I think he's been here. From all reports, he's in and out of town. He's working
I saw
out.
Him yesterday.
But even that, to me, is putting stress on him. Flying
the
across
the
back and forth across
and
the country,
fatigue, yeah.
rather than just being
and
here, working
why,
out.
And that's
going
why
home.
I say if he doesn't play as well as we're used to, a lot of people outside of New England won't be surprised. They'll take all these things and say that's why.
Right.
But would that be valid?
Maybe. Unless it's physical,
it's best to judge a guy afterwards.
I forgot the rule.
No, unless we can see a physical thing that he's just not able to
do. Well, that's going
to
muddy the water.
Right.
That might happen because of, a lot of guys with knee injuries come back and they're not the same
that's
the
right.
first year
that's right.
or they're not the same ever.
Right.
Yeah. So we won't really know.
We might not know if it has to do with the injury or the off-the-field stuff.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It will be muddy. It's like we always say with the draft picks that we like and they go to either teams that are perfectly suited or totally the wrong mix, or the guy gets hurt right away, the Chad Greenway situation. Mm-hmm. Me and Andy didn't really like Chad Greenway with the Vikings, and then he goes to training camp and rips up his knee, and we're like, we'll never know who was right.
Mm-hmm. And we'll also never know this about, 92% of the NFL players.
Yeah, Joseph Addai, we both kind of thought was an average guy. He went to the perfect team for his skills.
No, I mean the work thing. For all I know, there's a million players who have been in the league 4 years, meet a girl, get married, stop working out as hard in their career peters out, and it's not in the paparazzi spotlight, and I don't know it.
Yeah, they didn't meet Gisele Bündchen.
What?
It's a different one.
No, my point is, it might not be that different. Maybe Eugene Wilson worked hard until he got married. I just don't know what was going on in his personal
life. Well, basically, Fred's point is, if she's hot enough, it's okay.
Bucko Kilroy once told me, and he told me that he told players throughout his career, is don't ever get married while you're a player.
Eric, you could have played for Bucko.
That screws you up more than anything. So, Bucko was never one to mince words. Sam in Chicago says, Bucko, I think, eventually got married.
After his career was over?
I don't know.
Not when he was playing.
Maybe he did it while he was playing, and that's why he
knows.
Worst
mistake I ever made.
Right. Sam says, on the Favre-Manny subject, I am not surprised at their behavior. We too often think that excelling in one area lends great character and judgment in others. Like the professional athletes who are physically gifted and put under the microscope of media and fan worship, we cannot expect that their choices in their lives will mirror their great athletic prowess. It is the quiet professionals that don't garner much attention, like the Mike Vrabels and Wade Boggs of the world, who are great on and off the field.
Wade Boggs?
What? Yeah. What's that now? Penthouse?
He forgets
Boggs.
About
Wade
Boggs.
Oh, boy.
You ever hear of Margo Adams?
Yeah.
You ever hear of 60?
How
many beers did he drink from Seattle to Boston?
Something like 68 beers on a flight from Seattle to Boston.
Or thinking that he could turn himself invisible.
or the time when he hurt his back putting his cowboy boots on?
Yeah.
Okay.
68 beers?
Really?
I think it's an urban legend, personally. I don't think it's physically possible, but
what?
To have that many years. Wade Boggs,
5 hour trip.
Yeah, Wade Boggs, when he was a Red Sox, had
10 plus beers per hour for 6 hours.
Things that dogged his career.
Did eat chicken.
He's a nutcase.
Yeah.
He's a nutcase. Yeah. Anyway, hey, Eric.
Big hunter, too, right? Didn't he kill a lot of strange animals?
I don't remember.
I think he goes to Africa and kills all kinds of like weird animals.
Really?
And,
big game?
Yeah. That's Adam Vinatieri.
Yes.
He does that, too?
Yeah. Couldn't put it in the paper because it had blood in it.
Sam in Chicago says,
story,
hey,
hunting,
Eric,
no blood.
Do your art for your own enjoyment and don't worry about what others say.
You go, girl.
All right.
So there's two people in Chicago with differing views.
Differing views, good.
Yeah.
You're big in Chicago. Right. Maybe you should move.
I get the feeling you're trying to get rid of me, Andy.
No.
I don't want you to go.
Eric's selling paintings. Eric is on his road to
speaking of
stardom.
Chicago, Kamani writes in, says, you do
well done, Fred.
You do sound a little better, but it's all in the mixing. You're not as overmodulated as you used to be, especially Andy.
No, I think Jason is still doing absolutely nothing on that end. He just replaced a piece of equipment.
Now he's
feeling that, too. You sound a lot better today than you ever did.
Yeah, I doubt that very much.
And Chris Ferreira has written in about complaints about the stream.
It's your fault.
Starting to sound like Flo Max
here. I know,
here.
Seriously.
For those complaining about the stream.
It's a growing problem.
The staff of Mirror Image has requested that those users supply us with the following info in order to diagnose any issues. We need them to provide their IP address. They can find this by going to, oh, my God.
I pee in my bathroom.
Then there's like, are you emailing this to the people complaining? Okay, good.
Okay, good.
I can't read this all online. It's like a lot of rules, control F5 and
all kinds of stuff.
So
the geeks strike back yet
again. So anyone that's having trouble with the flash dropping in or out, doctor will send you an email. And,
tell them where you pee.
2 days later when you're finished doing all the steps, you can tell us what happened.
They'll tell you it's your fault.
You know the whole shift control F5 thing that Chris Ferrer always tells us about? He revealed to me the other day that that is effectively the same
as a refresh button.
As hitting the refresh button.
Refresh.
Right. So why for all these years has he not come to us and just said, did you hit your refresh button?
It's the same reason why I was, you know, astounded by the fact that you couldn't just say to Andy when he asked you if you had ever photoed that nude model, yes, even though it wasn't the right name. You call it Shift F5.
Paul stabs me in the back.
Someone else calls it refresh.
You get stabbed in the
rear
a lot.
Someone called him, what was your name? Mandy May? And
Busty,
what was her real name?
I don't want to divulge that.
Okay. Well, I meant her real, you know, stage name or...
No, I knew her real
website
real name.
Pole dancing.
Go move on.
Well, speaking of that, Todd writes in, here's proof
on.
Eric was lying and he doesn't think very quick on his feet.
Please, move on, please. Seriously. No, it's stupid.
You don't
want to
do that?
Move on.
He doesn't want the proof that Andy and I were right.
What Todd did is he went line by line in that conversation.
He transcribed the whole thing, yeah. That's another proof of
psychopaths.
And
really, I mean, if this was a court of law, you'd be buried.
I have the audio if you want it.
No, that's
yet more proof that we have psychopaths producing our show.
No. More proof that you lied.
All right, move
just
on.
Just say I lied.
But Manny, next time.
Kamani
also.
Say it. Say it.
Kamani also says.
Say it and I'll let it go. Say it.
What?
I lied. Say
no.
It.
No.
Wow. I didn't lie. You are an habitual liar.
Oh, see, now you're lumping me in a category with
people.
No, yes,
that's, no one's where no you're going. Lumping you into that one.
Should we go to the audio tape?
Those who
you
lie
need to be
together.
Quiet back there and get the real producer to start producing the show.
Kamani also says the original Office, the British version, is twice as funny as the American version.
Wow. Damn right.
Theirs is also a really good British comedy called Couplings that is good. 2.5 Men sucks.
You suck.
I finally agree
Two
with Kamani about
is
something.
Funny.
2.5 Men is the funniest show on TV. Have you seen it, Fred?
Do you watch? I mean,
by the way, Kamani's bosses at the Hyde Park Citizen would not be happy that he's wasting all this time during the day emailing us.
Oh, wait a minute. You know a little bit about Kamani?
My sources in Chicago have revealed to me who the real person is.
Really? The Hyde Park Citizen?
Yeah, they would not be happy. No.
Oh.
Is that where you used to have your rendezvous?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Rendezvous?
My sources tell me that that's... bosses would not be happy with all this time he's wasting listening to our show.
Oh, Kamani, you've been outed.
Yeah.
Wow.
This could get ugly, Eric. I don't know if you wanted to open up that can of worms.
John in L.A. Says that former Jets cornerback Ty Law is talking to the Patriots and Browns about the possibility of playing in 09, according to close friend Darrell Revis. Read more from the Jets stream, New York Daily News. What do you think about Ty Law coming back?
That's interesting.
The same way I feel about Brett Favre coming back.
Well, really? But Ty Law hasn't retired.
No, but I mean, I, in other words, I don't want him.
They've done enough to upgrade the defensive back position.
I don't think the Patriots necessarily need him, but I wouldn't be opposed to bringing him in.
I'd take him.
I would take him and let
certainly,
him
certainly. I mean, I think he could play DB, which is safety.
Well, that's what everybody is now for the Patriots. Right. You know, we're not allowed to classify them either way.
Jets fans have been calling them DBs for years.
Oh. Brian in Baltimore says, hey, guys, this one's for Paul.
All right.
This one's for Paul.
I went to college. I went to college at Buffalo, and I used to work with a Buffalo Jill cheerleader.
The Jills.
Who had a graduation party at her house over one summer. I thought it was in 03, if I remember correctly. So during the party, out of nowhere comes Lawyer Malloy, Taquio Spikes, and J.P. Losman.
Oh, good.
I'll keep it short, though, and just say Lawyer was a douchebag on wheels during the whole party.
Wow.
He pretty much wouldn't speak to anyone at the party unless it was a hot cheerleader. Maybe I can't blame him, but then again, I was a fan of his beforehand because of his time on the Pats, and just based on how he acts, I can see why Paul hated the guy.
Well, I didn't hate Lawyer.
Yes, you did.
Okay. I didn't hate Lawyer, but Fred thinks he's a great guy. You know, hey,
I think
Lawyer.
He had a little bipolar.
McGinnis is the guy I didn't like. I had no problems with Lawyer.
When I was an intern, I remember I never talked to him. I was always a little scared of him.
He was a scary guy.
Of who, Lawyer? Or?
Yeah.
I really? Never went up to Lawyer without anything specific to ask him. Like, I would go up to Rodney or Vrabel and just say, what's going on? Never did that to Lawyer. I was afraid.
And then we were at the Super Bowl, and he walked up to me and put his arm around me and said, geez, man, why are you always so serious? And I was like, I don't know. You scare me.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
What did he say?
I don't remember. Just like
was
laughed.
That the 01 really? Super Bowl?
Yeah.
That would be the only one he was around
why
for.
Why are you always so serious?
And you were were on the sideline that whole year, so he probably knew you pretty well.
Well, no, I didn't. Was afraid of him, so I didn't talk.
No,
to him.
No, but he knew who you were.
Right, saw me. Apparently, I looked serious.
Yeah, I Lawyer was definitely like a bipolar candidate. I don't know.
I
don't know if he specifically was, but he had.
You saw that publicly
really,
at
really
times
dramatic mood.
I had to have a couple talks with
Fred. You remember the famous one
when
we released Willie Clay, and
yeah.
He was very much under control at Bryant College. I have no comment. This is a football matter. It's a business, blah, 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 blah. And he left, went around the rotunda in his car, and came back.
Yeah.
And then just ripped the organization a new one for 10 minutes.
Well, and also, I don't know if he was a rookie or in his second year, but he gave Brian Morey a hard time in the locker room, and I had to go. And
best thing he ever did.
This is when I used to go into the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I had to give him a talk.
Wow.
You know, just about respect.
Worst thing you ever did.
You know, Brian's just trying to do his job. There's no reason to treat him like that, that kind of stuff.
Well, that's kind of the stuff that McGinnis did. That's why I didn't like him.
Well, McGinnis put Brian in a locker physically. He stuffed him in a locker.
I believe that's accurate.
So what's the common thread here? Those guys are bad or Brian's annoying?
Well, it didn't really have a lot to do with Brian with McGinnis. It was the Felger thing that I didn't really have any respect for. The scowls that he gave people when they walked by.
That's why I didn't.
Some other stuff that I really don't feel comfortable talking about because it's kind of hearsay, but I just didn't like him. I didn't like Willie. It doesn't mean he was a bad player.
Stuffed Brian Morey in a locker.
Best thing he ever did.
I believe that's accurate. Yeah, I didn't see it, but I believe that's true.
That's true.
And he used to, you know, like
for just talking to him, and he didn't like what he was saying.
He used to say such immature things too to play. You know, like he would, you know, call
Brian's a wise ass.
Well, Brian,
ow.
Yeah, Brian,
what was that?
I think I moved my
something
mic.
Just popped
Brian
in
earned
my
a lot of that stuff too because Brian was a little bit of a smart ass, and that rubbed some people the wrong way.
So Willie put him in a locker.
But he's not a successful smartass. Tom Curran's a smartass and rarely gets called on it.
I think
Brian's
a
smartass who annoys people.
Yeah.
Gary writes in, I have two questions for you. I know Rodney Harrison is supposed to announce whether he will play again in June, and the rumor mill has him retiring. What do you think, and do you think Rodney really will make good on his statement to become an NFL ref after he retires?
No.
No.
Second.
I think he lost that opportunity when he failed a, you know.
Right.
He didn't fail anything. He just caught the goods.
Yeah.
Second, now that McKenzie is gone, do you think the Pats will pull in another vet, get another undrafted free agent, or use the vacant spot for Taylor if he signs?
I'm putting all my eggs in one basket, Jason Taylor.
I still think Jason Taylor comes here. Another couple of weeks around, you know, around minicamp, the way we talked about.
This does help
week.
The chances of Antonio Appleby to keep the streak of undrafted rookie free agents making the team alive.
Sure.
Because if McKenzie had done it, that might have, you know, made that a little bit more difficult a proposition.
I need to see my boy Antonio in pass.
Hey, on the phone right now is Scott from Arizona. Scott, how you doing?
Hey, how's it it going, guys?
Thanks for holding on.
No problem. Hey, we'll find out about Rodney Harrison calling it quits at the end of the season, according to Fred.
Oh, that's true.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Fred didn't.
Hey, I wanted to touch bases on this.
And that's it from Scott in Arizona.
I'm just kidding.
I don't care.
Hey, you know, since this is like the part of the show we start bashing Eric on.
The first part?
Daisy, that's the whole show.
We're back to noon again?
Yeah. The Daisy May Gate story or whatever. I have a little theory. I think the reason why he doesn't want to talk about it is because, you know, when you guys are talking about how you saw the website, it only showed her upper body. I think maybe she might have been packing a little more heat downstairs.
Oh,
than
Daisy May be a man.
Oh. I mean, hell, I wouldn't want to talk about it, especially if she had a bigger one than me.
She was a hermaphrodite?
No.
No?
Are you sure?
Is his eyes dilated? He's lying.
No.
No, he's closing his eyes. He won't let us look at him.
Yeah, you people are creepy out there who listen to this show. You really are.
Derek.
People are creepy.
I'm just kidding.
All right.
Not yet.
this isn't your therapist.
Get to something relevant here. Let's go. Yeah. Let's move. Dead air is not good on radio.
Neither is
it. But hey, you know, sad to see about Tyrone McKenzie. I saw that the other day, and I thought, oh man, that should be a heartbreaker.
It sucks.
Oh yeah. But as far as, is there anyone out there that we can replace him with? I mean, aside from Jason Taylor or?
Taylor's an outside guy.
You cannot
McKenzie
replace
was going to be on the
Tyrone
inside.
McKenzie.
Yeah, but Taylor was a different position. McKenzie played outside in college, but he was most likely going to be an inside guy here. Taylor's no way going to play inside.
They'll
junior
be
outside guy.
Junior Seau. Bring back the 2004 Dolphins defense. Seau, Taylor, bring it all back.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm not sold on that. I think they'll have to make do with the rookies and the younger guys.
I think it might have to say a lot about maybe the progress those guys like, you know, some of the, like Vince Reds and all those guys are making in the offseason program if Bill didn't really decide to draft too many linebackers.
Well, it also could, and I know we mock Fred for his Tank Williams stuff, but it also could lend itself towards the proliferation of spread offenses. Could lead to more, as Bill sees it, sub-defenses, where you don't necessarily have that fourth inside linebacker. I mean, maybe they are going to use a variety of big nickel or whatever you want to call it with Tank Williams or Patrick Chung or, you know, Ty Law with these five DB sets that become, you know, 40-50% of your defense or more. I mean, maybe that's kind of part of it. The lack of a need there. There's not enough value to target a guy just to fill that slot that may or may not be as valuable as we as fans and media
maybe
think
you
it is.
Maybe you fill it by having some of the defensive linemen on the field more often and
right.
You know, like a Seymour.
Right.
You know, maybe, okay. You know, I know he's on the field a lot on third down. He moves inside. Maybe they keep him outside.
Right.
And have him just rush the pass.
And Guyton's good enough for certain situations, and then other situations it's going to be the Chunger.
You think that maybe they might switch to a 4-3 to kind of cover our lack of linebacker depth or
Not full time.
Not fully. I mean, I think it's a possibility, depending on. Because
now you got Mayo. You got this guy who could be, you know, your prototypical 4-3 middle linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about adjusting to your personnel a little bit.
That'd be a big adjustment, though, for Bill to make in a short period of time.
Well, maybe he's half the league's using 3-4. You know, now it's no longer an advantage to do so.
But he's used it through phases for the last 25 years.
Yeah, that's true.
And I also think that he is going to always have the ability to do that, to go 4-3. The defense, in my opinion, doesn't really change much whether it's 4-3 or 3-4 because the way Bill describes it, all the principles are the same up front. You know, the gap responsibilities are all the same in terms of two-gapping and whatnot. Yeah. They don't play the over-under, right, Andy? They don't do that whether it's 4-3 or 3-4. They stick on the on the head of the guy in front of them and they play two-gap.
Yeah.
How come they don't run that one defense I've seen they ran a couple years ago where they have everyone standing up and they just kind of send everybody in? I mean,
that was situational.
That
I mean, that and they that did that against the Bills.
And that was a sub-defense, too, for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, they might do that this year, depending on
the
situation.
You never know. There might be a game plan that it calls for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, I'll tell you guys, we're planning on making the trip for the opening night game with Buffalo and New England.
Nice.
And, yeah, we'd like to, you know, take you guys all out to maybe like Olive Garden or something. I know you guys got an Olive Garden there now, so
we do have an Olive Garden. You staying at Patriot Place? You book your room right here?
Oh, no, I think we're probably going to stay in Providence, but last time we went up there.
Oh, you have your
nice
choice of restaurants then.
Eric can be your tour guide. It's a nice city if they ever finish it.
Yeah. Oh, it's finished.
It is?
Oh, yeah. When we get up there, I'll have to get with you guys and maybe take you guys out to lunch before the game or something.
Sounds like a plan, right. Scott. We'll book you.
All right. You have to take it easy, right?
Thanks,
all
Scott.
Right. Wait. All right.
All right.
I don't want to be Fred. I stole that line from Lenny Clark. I just want to be clear.
Which one? When they finished the city?
Yeah. Or somebody else. Might not have been Lenny Clark. Another comedian. I don't want to be like Fred who steals lines and claims they were his. I thought of that 25 years ago at the University of Tampa.
What the hell is he talking about?
There's some
Save
line that
my
you
body
that
the
you
trouble.
Said.
I'll just throw it in the toilet.
I right. did. I made that up.
Yeah.
I know exactly where I was when I first said it.
University of Tampa. Toilet?
It's in my dorm room.
Where?
University of Tampa.
Thank you. He just pulled an Eric.
He did.
I said it.
He goes, I don't know what he's talking about.
You know.
I described the situation perfectly.
I've never heard of it. No one do you. Tampa? Who went to Tampa?
Ryan from Fairfax. I thought it was high time to write my first email after you guys went over the four tight ends on Tuesday and possible fullback option. We have Baker, Watson, Thomas, and now Smith. Whatever happened to Tyson DeVry? Didn't he play some snaps at fullback? Thanks, guys. Show is great. I listened to the podcast the moment it's up on iTunes.
Well, anybody who plays tight end for them is going to be in the backfield at times in motion as an H-back, fullback, whatever it is, the F in the offense. So they're all going to see that role. Yeah, and he was on and off the roster all season as a practice squad guy or active scratch on game days. And
Which leads us into our trivia question, Eric,
yes.
for Fred and Paul.
We have two trivia questions.
Two players on the roster with the last name that starts with D. One of them is Tyson DeVry. The other is Dead Air.
Wait, no.
That's not correct, but it does begin with a D.
It does begin with D.
I don't know.
Fred, Richard, I'm going to say you've never heard this name before in your life.
Richard Darrell.
No, that's Darrell Richard, and
Richard
that's...
Darryl. That's not a bad answer, though.
His other brother, Darrell?
Yes.
Douglas.
Who, Douglas
just
who?
Throw out names.
Denton.
I don't know.
It's... Go ahead, Andy. This was your question.
Demaine Duckett.
Demaine Duckett.
Did you know he was a Patriot?
I
Be
did.
Honest.
I've heard the name.
Okay.
I've heard the name. Demaine Duckett.
I would have never got it.
I remember reading it the first time and saying, I wonder if they forgot an R in his first name. Dermain.
Dermain.
And is it Domain? It's
yeah.
not like Damane or yeah. anything like that?
I think it's
Domain.
Okay. Yeah.
Domain man.
And then the other question we had was,
aside from Darmani,
isn't
why would there
D-A-M-A?
Be an R? No, why would there be an R added?
Oh, I thought
it's not like it's really close to a familiar name. That's
don't
just
hitch,
missing
don't
one
hitch
letter.
Me to his wagon.
No, you've heard the name Germain.
Jermaine.
Jermaine.
Like Jermaine Jackson.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I thought Dermaine. That's the first thing I thought of.
But it's Domaine.
It is.
Not
Domaine.
Dermaine.
He's Domaine man.
Isn't Jermaine spelled with an E? So if it was
yes.
D-E-M, then okay, maybe. But it's D-A. It's
all right, what's your
close.
Other question? Because we're at the end
Darmaine.
Of the show.
Aside from the letters Q and X, there are two other letters in the alphabet that are not represented in last names on the Patriots roster.
Why was this even being thought about?
Because Andy asked me that other question.
I was cleaning my desk, and I came across the Domaine Duckett thing.
And then that led me to
false.
Come up with my own. So,
I?
No, Jake Ingram.
Z.
Z is one.
Zibikowski.
No, on the Patriots roster.
You,
correct.
Yes. U-Tect.
If you were on the Patriots roster.
All right. Well, that's it. That'll be that.
We ended terribly.
Yeah, we got to go.
Ending 3 minutes early.
We petered out there.
Anything going on this weekend, Patriots-wise? No. Coaches have a four-day weekend, I hear, giving them the weekend off.
Wow. Which 4 days?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
I'm just asking.
Wow.
It might have been Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Anyway, they got
a four, get mocked.
They're getting
a decent question.
They're getting a 4 day reprieve, so we should be so lucky. We will see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, 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 God, yeah.
Patriots.com Radio.